much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Sometimes I can tell you it won't be good, and you'll see it won't be good. Sometimes you'll think it's good, and it isn't any good. Sometimes you'll think it's bad, and it was pretty darn good. Sometimes you'll think it's bad, and it was bad. But basically, you really don't know.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
Well said, Kevin.
Yes.
Hey, how's that going?
I am not in danger, Skylar. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? I am the one who knocks.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Sarah Abramson?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Frickin' awesome.
Roll another one.
Bitches be crazy.
Just like the other one.
That's true.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I love doing drugs.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Hurry up with my damn croissants.
Roll another one.
What are you guys putting in your hair?
Just like the other one.
You're a bastard, son of a bitch.
This one seems to be about to end.
This is Santa Rolly.
I don't have another cent.
Somewhere, Gene Autry is smiling right now.
Yeah, we in here. We in this thing.
Just pass it around.
What you talking about, honky?
Looks like the gang's all here.
I'll just pass it on down.
And now.
What are these, Kevin? They look like clown panties. Why are there clown panties crumpled up in our hallway? They look like they belong to a clown. A slut whore clown.
Our feature presentation.
Those are the best kind, let's be honest.
The slut whore kind of clowns?
What's with the clown panties, Kevin?
They're the best. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, the 21st of June.
So, Kevin, will we ever see you again? Or
of course.
Is this it? I was thinking about this yesterday because Kevin's going to Las Vegas. And from what I gather from Twitter, he's making a lot of plans. I don't think he's building any sleep into his weekend.
Well, you have to understand that the plans that you make are very often never accomplished when you go to Vegas. You lay out a grid, and you have places you want to go and bands you want to see, things you want to do, places you want to be, people you want to meet up with. And then afterwards, you look back and go, didn't do that, didn't do that, didn't do that, didn't do that.
So all of those people should not be counting on you.
I think they all know
I'm
that.
Thinking.
They all know that, yeah.
And your little partner in crime for it's EDM, right?
Yep,
this weekend.
EDC, yeah.
EDC, sorry, is King of Mexico, who I see is plotting out acts that you guys are going to see at 3:30 in the morning at one point?
Yeah.
Going on at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, the EDC is on from like 10 p.m. to 4 a.m., I think.
Really?
5 a.m.?
Wow.
Something like that. Yeah, so Donna Life, one of the bands that we want to see is Saturday at 3:30 a.m.
3:30 a.m. is what they're scheduled on stage time.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's the plan.
Why am I not there?
See, then at 10 a.m., we're out.
And go to sleep or go to the pool?
I'm saying we're asleep by that point.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully.
Oh, we may never see him again.
Seriously. Right.
Everybody should line up, shake his hand like it's the last day of school.
I'm just saying. We have some good plans. I don't know that we'll make any of them. Will we be there at 3:30? No clue. We might be shooting guns at that point. I don't know.
I had a story I was going to do. I guess I'll save it for next week. But I did want to mention one other thing before we get started, just because we don't have a place built into the show for sports anymore. I I believe I've completely come around on LeBron now.
You have.
I was one of those guys, like so many, who were incredibly turned off by the shoddy way that he handled the transition out of Cleveland.
Right.
Yes.
But he seems like he's a good dude now to me. Am I wrong about that? Am I misreading the situation here? Because he seems...
I don't know it. He
seems like a team player. He seems humble. He says all the right things at all the right times. No one works harder. No one plays better. I can't find any reason to dislike him now.
I don't know. I can't help you with that. I'm lukewarm on him. He is fantastic and one of the best mm-hmm. players ever. Maybe the best player ever. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Here's just a taste of his speech. Of course, they won last night, and it was so weird. I was watching his face when they finally. I mean, Lisa, you probably didn't see the game, but I mean, an entire season, you get to the playoffs, struggle through all the playoffs, you get to the finals. You're in the seventh game of the final. So now everything you've done for the last 8-9 months comes to this game. Then it comes to this half. Then it comes to this quarter. And the game was, you watched, I'm sure, Kevin, it was never more than like 4 points either way, right? It so easily could have gone either way.
Then it comes to 45 seconds. Then it comes to 10 seconds.
Oh, my God.
Holy cow. This is crazy.
The entire season hangs in the balance of what's going to happen in this next 45 seconds or something like that. So LeBron wins, and it was just so weird just to see the – I don't know. It just looked like a peaceful look on his face. Did you notice he didn't jump up and down? He wasn't screaming. He wasn't high-fiving.
Oh, he's got that kind of energy, I think, at that point.
You're just exhausted.
Maybe he was tired, but he just looked like serene. Here's what he said as they handed him his most valuable player trophy.
Listen, for me, I can't worry about what everybody say about me. I'm LeBron James from Akron, Ohio, from the inner city. I'm not even supposed to be here. That's enough. Every night I walk into the locker room, I see a number 6 with James on the back. I'm blessed. So what everybody say about me off the court don't matter. I ain't got no worries.
Congratulations, LeBron.
I liked it. I was impressed.
I do, too.
I've turned around on LeBron. I can't hate him anymore.
But here's part of the problem is that he acts like people hate just to hate. You know what I mean?
Like they have no reason.
Just because he's successful? I mean, there's a lot of people like you, Bean. A lot of people who turned on him hard when he made that decision.
Sure.
He did that big hour-long special. He's done stuff that deserves criticism.
Yeah.
But how long do you hold that against him, though? And in his defense, it's not like he grabbed the microphone out of that reporter's hand and said, hey, I want to talk about the haters. You know, she asked him with all the noise outside the basketball arena, how do you stay so focused? You know, and that was his answer to that.
I don't hate him. I don't hate him. I don't love him, but I don't hate him.
Well, congratulations. I didn't know who to root for last night in the game, by the way. Not having a dog in the fight, you know. But congratulations to the Miami Heat. That's 2 in a row. I mean, that's why, you know, he took us down to South Beach, you guys.
Congratulations to the Miami Heat and Manu Ginobili, who also helped
a lot. Who, they ought to give him a ring. They ought to give him a Heat ring for his contribution.
Unbelievable. I've never seen a player that could be so good be so bad.
Somebody, I think it was our friend Jensen, tweeted last night, Manu's the mole, right?
He really is. Every time he got the ball near the end, he'd throw it away. You go, what are you doing? I've never seen a player do this. There's going to be some kind of a point-shaving scandal that's going to come out of this.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
He didn't do a very good job of hiding it. You're supposed to make it look natural, like you're supposed to make some of the shots.
Right. He fell apart. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Amicho, shall we?
It's torture. It's hard to appreciate or enjoy torture.
Yeah, I hear you. Nick Prugo is going to be in the studio with us. He's one of the
dick.
He's one of the real guys behind the Bling Ring. He was part of the actual group, spent a year in prison. He's going to come in and tell us about that.
Interesting.
Of course, the Bling Ring is that story about breaking into celebrities' homes while they were gone so that they could steal jewelry and whatnot and then go back to the house and watch TV and wait for, or, you know, watch TMZ and wait for the word to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't support any of what they did. Somebody else's stuff is clearly wrong. But if you have the chance to break into Megan Fox's house, I guess you got to do it.
But they're not doing it for that reason.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Movie beat, because it's Friday. Mm-hmm. We have comedian Bobby Lee, who's going to be talking about being at the Brea Improv, among other things. We have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. We have Psycho Mike with the Psycho Body.
Awesome.
As it is officially the first day of summer, although it's felt like that here for quite some time.
Yeah. So, Muggs, Mike can get you whipped into shape by tonight if you want.
Sweet, I'm there.
How did yesterday's workout go?
I went to the gym again.
You did?
I did.
I lost that bet.
Yeah.
I did.
All right.
Lisa, bet.
Kevin, you're up.
I'm up, but only for a day.
Yep.
I only have today.
Yep.
And then he's going to be done, and that's it.
All right, so we're going to do all that. Plus, we'll continue to give away tickets for the 5th Annual Epicenter, which is Saturday, September 21st. It's The Offspring, it's Bad Religion, it's Pennywise, and more. We'll give you those tickets as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
I'll carry you home tonight.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
The Garmin remix of the fun song right there. World famous K-Rock. Rob is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now for a Friday.
Anybody have North? North in the office pool?
North.
For the name of Kim and Kanye's baby?
Oh, it's North?
Yeah. I mentioned that when we first started talking about it as sort of like an offhand joke. Like, that's silly. They're just saying that. That couldn't possibly be the answer.
I remember.
But
North.
TMZ.com reporting that they have seen the signed birth certificate and the baby's name is North West. No middle name. Northwest.
No
Why
middle name.
Would they do that to their kid?
Because they hate that little girl. For some reason, she did something horrible to them. I think because she made Kim fat. Kim really hates her.
Yeah.
She really hates
her. Her whole life it's going to be Northwest?
Northwest.
Like, really?
If they have any decency, they would name her middle name should be By North. So it should be North by Northwest.
Good. I like it.
Just then, you know, a classic Hitchcock movie. It makes more sense. I'm sure.
Yeah. North.
They're going to call her Nori for short, say insiders.
Okay.
Okay.
Why not call her Nori West then?
Yeah.
At least it's not Northwest. At least you're not naming your child a direction.
Forget my ignorance. I mean, it sounds silly because the baby's last name and they've chosen the father's name of West, but is North a name that anyone else has?
Never heard of it. As far
I've
as
heard
being
it has a last name, but never has a first name. Yep.
Huh.
That child's going to be special.
That's what they did.
Especially sure picked is on.
North.
North.
That's how you get it done.
Yep.
See? Learn, kids.
Learn, kids. After weeks of speculation and fear on the part of some people, I'm assuming Marvel being one of them, Robert Downey Jr. has finally signed a contract that will make him Iron Man for the next two Avengers movies.
Fantastic.
He has signed up for Avengers 2 and Avengers 3. Now, there is no codicil in there saying that he will do a fourth standalone Iron Man movie, so we may have seen the end of the Iron Man films, but he will be back for Avengers 2 and 3 at least, so we know he will still be fighting crime for a couple years to come.
When is the Avengers TV show? That looks good.
S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I believe it's the fall.
Yeah.
Looks good. We should see that then. With Clark Gregg back again from the dead somehow. I love comic book movies. I don't know if you saw yesterday, but the world's oldest ex-gay church, Exodus International, to see this news.
I did.
This is the church that will pray the gay away. They will give you therapy, and they will fix your gay, because Jesus doesn't want you to be gay, and so they would get together, and you would go to them, and they would repair your gay through prayer and the power of the Lord.
You'd leave gay-free.
Oh, God, you could not wait to get vagina when you left. You left Exodus International.
Their thing was that the opposite of homosexuality was not heterosexuality, it was holiness. That's what they used to say.
Yeah. They have shut their doors after 40 years.
Wow.
Of
40 years.
Fixing the gays. Yeah. Their president said he was deeply sorry for the pain and hurt that he caused, and then, of course, admitted that he himself was gay.
Shut up.
Are you... Exodus President Alan Chambers. You didn't see that part?
I didn't see that part.
It's my favorite part of the story.
The president of that?
Alan Chambers, president of the Exodus Church, said, "There were several years that I conveniently omitted my ongoing same-sex attractions."
Oh, my God.
"I was afraid to share them as readily and easily as I do today."
He wasn't the president for all 40 years, though, was he?
I don't know how long he was president, but...
That's unbelievable.
Today, however,
this is fabulous.
I accept these feelings as part of my life that will likely always be there. So, I guess gay one, God zero, I guess, is the score if you're keeping track at home.
Now, I didn't hear his wife's comment on this. Did you, Ralph?
I did not see her statement either, being I don't know what she has to say immediately, but...
How about that?
Just made me smile today. And as you can imagine, it should come as no surprise that the Sopranos, the complete series, is now the number one item selling at Amazon.com. People buying the box set in mass to, I guess, appreciate the work of James Gandolfini again. Although at this point, I find it hard to believe anyone hasn't seen it. But I guess for those who haven't, they're picking up the DVD box set.
Man, if you haven't, that's a great show.
They haven't seen it. They're lucky.
Yeah, that's true.
They have that to look forward to.
And it looks like Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry will actually go where no man has gone before.
I thought he already went.
Well, here's the thing. He was, some of his remains were put up on one of those spaceships that they put you in orbit, but that orbit decays, and then you burn up back in the atmosphere when you come back to Earth. Oh. They are putting him now on a special new ashes spaceship.
Okay.
That will take him out into space, and then he will remain in orbit around the sun in perpetuity.
Wow.
So now he will be in space forever.
Couldn't they have just told us that the first time? Who's checking?
Yeah, would we have? I just saw it. Just came back in.
Just burned up on reentry.
Yeah, it'll be Gene Roddenberry along with James Scotty Doohan, who played Scotty, of course, on the show, and Gene's wife, Majel Barrett, who played Nurse Chapel on the series. Their remains will all be put into orbit around the sun forever, so they will be traveling through space.
I don't want to brag, but Clyde Tombaugh is in Neptune right now on his way to Pluto.
Really?
Yes, that's where his ashes are.
Well, that is
New Horizons.
You're bragging because you had what to do with it. Because
he's my guy. You know that.
He's your guy.
You know, I love him.
Any plans to visit his remains?
I would love to. Oh my gosh.
What kind of nut is he?
Whatever the best nut in the world is what Clyde Tombaugh is.
Right. He's a golden cashew.
He's some sort of super golden cashew with extra salt.
With platinum on it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Doug Savant is 49 years old today. We've had Doug in on the show. Very nice guy.
Super nice. Yeah.
Actor David Morrissey, the governor.
So good.
49 years old. Actress Juliette Lewis is 40 years old today. Mike Ensinger of Incubus is 37. Chris Pratt, not only very funny on Parks and Recreation, but he's also married to the lovely Anna Faris. Good deal for Chris Pratt right there.
Yep.
He's 34. Brandon Flowers of The Killers is 32. Lana Del Rey's 27. Ooh. Obviously. And you can say what you want about your Amy Adams, but my personal Lois, Erica Durance, Lois Lane from Smallville, she's 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Yeah! Bear claw derived from my mouth.
Bear claws!
Someone might die today. I'm just putting that out there.
Can it be beer mug? Can we choose? Do we have a choice?
Oh, I think it might be.
Yeah. Hey, it's Friday, the most unusual Stephen Colbert show probably ever. He dropped character. How often do you see that? I'll say never. We got tape from that coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, Ralph Garman joins us. It's Friday. That means it's time for the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Great batch of films this weekend for you to check out. One is in limited release. Two of them are big summer blockbusters. We've got everything here. We've got something for the family, for the kids. We got something for people who like touching stories about drama, older people. And then you got something for the undead. So everybody is covered this weekend. Let's start with a limited edition film named Unfinished Song. Unfinished Song is a British film starring Gemma Arterton, which already I'm in, Christopher Eccleston, who I like a lot as well. He used to be Doctor Who. And Terrence Stamp, who was the original Zod. Wow. Before people started just killing people randomly in Metropolis for no good reason. Interesting story, Unfinished Song. It's about an older guy played by Stamp who honors his recently deceased wife's passion for performing by joining an unconventional local choir to which she used to belong. And that process actually helps him build bridges with his estranged son, James, played by Christopher Eccleston. Looks like a great cast and a very interesting, touching story. Here are some clips from the trailer of Unfinished Song.
I'm not what you think I am. A miserable old author. I can't change. It's too late.
The way you sing is beautiful. Let everyone see you.
Why'd you do it?
Sometimes you find a flower you could help to bloom.
Maybe you're one of those flowers.
Yeah, poison ivy.
Arthur Harris, you're my rock.
Welcome to the International Choir Festival.
I felt like a right idiot.
Yeah.
You're stupid.
Stupid, I'm so dumb. You know, the Brits love their choirs.
Boy, they sure do. Choirs, yeah. They had that whole series. Remember the choir? It was on BBC America.
I don't remember that series, but I'm really sad I missed it.
Actually, it was very inspirational. This guy would go around to small towns, and he would gather people from different walks of life and blue-collar people and kids and stuff and put them together in these choirs. And
oh, I'm going to search for it. Don't get me wrong.
Compete in these choir competitions. Why do you hate music?
Don't.
Apparently you do.
I love music.
No, you don't. You don't love the uplifting power of the spirit that music possesses.
Come on.
Stupid.
You're a gay racist.
That's
Come
right.
on. What?
That's what Kevin thinks about choir singers. Monsters University. Oh, it's the prequel. Mike Wazowski and James P. Sullivan. You remember them from Monsters, Inc. Well, how did they meet? How did they first get together? Well, they attended Monster University. That's what happened. Unless you're watching the first film where they say they're friends since fourth grade. But in this film, they went to Monsters University. You know what it's about. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Hello, fellas.
Do you pledge your souls to the Uzma Kappa Brotherhood?
Do you swear to keep secrets?
Oh, crying out loud.
Sweetie, turn the lights on while you're down here. You're going to ruin your eyes.
Mom, we're doing an initiation.
Oh, scary. Well, carry on. Just pretend I'm not here.
This is my mom's house.
See, it's a monster fraternity.
So all you really need to say is Pixar, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
They do good work. The kids will love it. You'll enjoy it. If you got to bring something... the kids to a movie, this is the kind of thing you want to watch because you will also enjoy it. And or you can bring the kids to World War Z. They might like that. They might like watching Brad Pitt travel the world trying to stop a zombie invasion. Zombies are everywhere. It's a pandemic. It's just they don't know what's causing it, but zombies are springing up and toppling armies and governments and taking over cities, threatening to destroy humanity itself. It's World War Z, mother effers. Here's some clips from the trailer of World War Z.
Terry, what is this?
It's the Sea Worldwide.
I'm scared.
How do we know they're coming?
They're coming. Ready? I need you to help them.
You're asking me to leave my family.
Don't pretend you're not well suited for the job.
Terry?
Tell the kids I'm coming back.
On it!
Just, you know, I'm coming back.
This has been a passion project for Brad Pitt for a number of years, right, Ralph?
Yeah. He fell in love with the book and has been bringing it to the screen for a number of years, and it's finally here. David Morse also stars. Looks frightening. Terrifying.
These zombies look like they could kick the ass of the zombies in The Walking Dead, don't they?
Crush Walking Dead zombies, no question. These are giant armies, like ants, just swarming over their prey and just devouring it. Oh, we're walking around. There's two zombies.
There's three of us at a time.
Here comes World War Z and just wipes them off the map. Zombie pussies over there in Walking Dead. Hate them. Those are your choices for the weekend. Me, personally, World War Z looks like a fantastic summer blockbuster that has all the drama and special effects and stuff you look for in a big movie.
But
like that.
No choirs, so...
What's nothing wrong with choirs, man?
How do you choose, I'm saying.
Don't you watch one of those movies where people break in a song and it's unlikely that they can create that kind of music and then you get sort of welled up with emotion and touched inside, Kevin? Has that ever happened to you?
How do you pick? But I mean, unless it has a choir in it, I'm out.
I hope zombies attack Vegas this weekend and kill you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Comedian Bobby Lee joins us in studio next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Mike Catherwood will be here with a summer edition of The Psycho Body. And Nick Prugo, he's one of the real-life burglars who went to jail as depicted in The Bling Ring. He's the guy, one of the guys who was breaking into Lindsay Lohan's house and Paris Hilton's house and everybody else. He'll tell us his story. That's on the way. And a quick programming note, Monday morning, 8 o'clock, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, one of our all-time favorites. The great Trent Reznor will be here talking about new Nine Inch Nails. That's Monday right here on K-Rock.
That was a surprise, the whole Nine Inch Nails thing.
Oh, yeah.
He walked away, said he's going to be done with it for a while, and the next thing you know, he's back with an album. Love it.
Yep. No one even knew he was working on it.
Let's talk about Stephen Colbert.
Let's talk about Stephen Colbert. He's some sort of genius, right?
He's fantastic. We've been fans of his for a long time. We don't talk about his show very much. It's pretty pop culture, news-ish, you know? It's kind of like The Daily Show. It follows it. And he came on the other day with a tribute to his mom who had passed away. And I didn't know anything about it. I didn't see it in the news? Did you see it, Bean?
I did. I heard that she had died and that he had taken a week off from the show, but I really wasn't expecting what happened on the air when he came back, just because he broke character, which he never does. I mean, that's the brilliant thing about Colbert, and I bet there are people who watch his show who don't realize he doesn't believe anything that he says.
That it's an act. He's acting like a conservative, but he's not at all.
Thing is an act. So, the fact that he dropped the act was a surprise to me, but B, it was so heartfelt and so beautiful hearing him talk about his mom, and it humanized him to a point where you don't normally see that on television.
I've had a parent die, and it's the kind of thing you wish you could say, but you don't have the words that he did. And it was really, really moving. We thought we'd play it for you. Most of the time we edit stuff down for time. We try and speed it up because we have the attention span of a gnat. But in this particular case, I think it's really interesting when he's
hear the whole thing.
When he's taking a break, sometimes he's, you know, fighting tears.
Composing himself.
It's really, really moving. And it's Stephen Colbert talking about his late mother.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for being here tonight. Everybody in here and out there watching. I've been away from the rapport for a week because 1 week ago today, my mother, Lorna Tuck Colbert, died. And I want to thank everybody who offered their thoughts and prayers. Now, if you watch this show and you like this show, that's because of everybody who works here, and I'm lucky to be one of them. But when you watch the show, if you also like me, that's because of my mom. So before we start the show again, I'd like to tell you a little bit about her. She was born just a little ways from here in Larchmont, New York, on Chatsworth Avenue in 1920, the same week that women first got the right to vote. She spent her summers in the Adirondacks with her older sister Colleen and her younger brother Ed, who called her Snodgrass. She met my father, James, at age 12 at Cantillion, and she liked him. But she didn't want him to know how much, so she would make her friends ride their bikes all the way across town just to pass by his house, but then she would never look to see if he was in the front yard, which, of course, drove her friends crazy, and evidently, she also drove my father crazy because they were married and promptly had 11 children. She made a very loving home for us. No fight between siblings could end without hugs and kisses, though hugs never needed a reason in her house. Singing and dancing were encouraged, except at the dinner table. She had trained to be an actress when she was younger, and she would teach us how to do stage falls by pretending to faint on the kitchen floor. She was fun. She knew more than her share of tragedy, losing her brother and her husband and three of her sons. But her love for her family and her faith in God somehow gave her the strength not only to go on, but to love life without bitterness and to instill in all of us a gratitude for every day we have together. And I know it may sound greedy to want more days with a person who lived so long, but the fact that my mother was 92 does not diminish, it only magnifies the enormity of the room whose door has now quietly shut. In her last days, my mother occasionally became confused. And to try to ground her, we asked simple questions like, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite song? And she couldn't answer these. But when asked what her favorite prayer was, she immediately recited a child's prayer in German that she used to say to my eldest brothers and sisters at bedtime when they were living in Munich in the late 1940s. Her favorite memory of prayer was a young mother tucking in her children. We were the light of her life, and she let us know it till the end. And that's it. Thank you for listening. Now we can get to the truly important work of television broadcasting, which is what she would want me to do. When I was leaving her last week, I leaned over and I said, Mom, I'm going back to New York to do the show. And she said, I can't wait to see it. I wouldn't miss it for the world. So, with that in mind, this is the Colbert Report.
That's amazing.
Wow.
It's brilliant. And you know what's shocking to me is that he got an entire studio audience to be quiet for that long. There wasn't one a-hole Ducks fan to yell, you suck, or something like that. Like, always happens.
Hockey fans are a special breed. You don't try that in front of them. But it was a touching moment from Stephen Colbert.
Comedian Bobby Lee joins us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. It is Friday morning. Ralph Garman is here, too. Time for the showbiz beat.
Please welcome Northwest.
Is a direction.
And is a baby. That is the name of porn star Kim Kardashian and Kanye West's baby girl, according to TMZ.com. They claim they got a glimpse of the signed birth certificate at Cedars-Sinai, and Northwest is the name of their baby girl with apparently no middle name. Northwest.
Is that a... forget the fact that the first name is ridiculous. Is that a pain in the ass for somebody to not have a middle name with all the forms you have to fill out in your
no,
world?
No, I think it's confusing. It is.
I don't you can?
So. Yeah. Yeah, it's actually simpler.
Put a little line through it, you're good.
Okay.
It's not, you know, you don't need one. It's still a legal...
But North, let's go back to North.
Let's talk about North. last hour we were talking about, has anyone ever been named North before? And my buddy and listener Michael Ambers writes, isn't North that crappy Elijah Wood movie about a kid who hates his horrible parents and goes looking for new ones? And it was. Remember that movie with Rob Reiner?
So funny.
Yeah. Elijah Wood plays a little kid named North who hates his parents.
So it's just a prediction of the future.
That's why they called the baby North. Now it all makes sense. Because they know exactly what's going to happen.
I'm trying to think of what that conversation was like. First of all, how do you find two people on Earth who will both agree to that name?
Well, those two are special.
I'd like to see the top 10 that they came up with that they had to narrow down from.
And the
South,
other thing is...
East. Left. Right.
The other thing is, down.
They had to have the conversation with, okay, we like the name North, but we can't use it, right? Because the kid's last name is West, and then it's just going to sound like a direction. I mean, somebody had to at least bring that up. Like, is this what we want to lay on our kids' shoulders?
The answer to that question is yes.
Obviously, they did.
How did they get to the first part of that conversation you just had, Bean, which is, yes, we both like the name North?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I would love to be a fly on that wall.
Yeah.
North.
The best part of Kim Kardashian giving birth, because it was 5 weeks early especially, was, you know, she had set up all these luxurious, fancy accommodations at Cedars-Sinai. She had a birthing suite ready. She was going to be loaded with roses, and it was to be catered by Ruth Chris's Steakhouse. And she had,
you can do that at a hospital?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
With that money, you can do whatever you want.
Wow.
They had the Cirque du Soleil was going to be spinning above her head on a trapeze. I mean, it was all ready to go. But because she gave birth 5 weeks early, that birthing suite was not available.
Oh, that's funny.
It was already occupied.
So she wasn't in a regular civilian room, was she?
Yes.
Oh, man. How'd they deal with that?
The suite was occupied by Dwight Howard's baby mama. She had already checked in.
Awesome.
So she had dibs. And Kim had to go to the regular place where regular people go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that why Kanye was so mad about not getting his croissant?
I think so. He was, you know, you don't get that kind of service in the regular rooms.
They don't even have croissants in the regular rooms.
Yeah. Real quick update. Yesterday we talked about the outrage. That is the fact that I am not in the cast of Sharknado.
Sharknado is a thing, first of all.
It is a thing. It's a brilliant piece of cinema. It's going to be on the Sci-Fi Channel in July. July 11th, I believe. Sci-Fi will bring Sharknado to your TV screens about a tornado that passes out over the ocean and picks up a school of sharks. And
yeah!
Then goes inland and proceeds to dump them on a seaside community.
Do they grow legs? How does that...
Listen, you don't stop it.
How does that work?
Stop being frivolous.
Don't make it sound silly.
Don't be frivolous with Sharknado. About the sharks dropping from the skies. How's that? How do you like that?
I love it.
Anyway, it's widely recognized to be an outrage that I am not in the cast.
Well, I think that's a given.
Well, so, it's Iron Man without Robert Downey is what it
that's
is.
Thank you, Bean. I couldn't have put it better myself. I received this email. Ralph, if I knew you wanted to be in another shark movie, I would have found a part for you in Sharknado. There were so many horrible ways we could have killed you. And now I feel awful that we completely ignored you. So for that, I apologize sincerely. Anthony C. Ferrante, director of Sharknado.
Is that right?
That's the kind of sway I have in Hollywood, people. When I complain, people apologize.
It's not too late to put you out someplace and drop a shark on your head.
The director of Sharknado is apologizing to me personally
That's nice.
For having not included me in the cast. And I accept your apology, Anthony.
What about the sequel that we hatched yesterday on the air of Sharktado, which is half shark, half potato? Maybe you can be in that movie when they make it.
Look forward to working at a Frito-Lay factory, and I get attacked by a swarm of Sharktados. I am also looking forward to Sharkano, where a shark somehow swim inside a volcano and then get spewed out the top and start shooting all over an island community. Sharkano. I like that.
That sounds more like your deal.
Yeah.
You should be in that.
Trying to find more ways to combine weather elements and sharks. Sharkacane? I don't know. We'll work something out. Abercrombie and Fitch, they are suffering a backlash.
So hot people are sad now?
No, some people are, because they've released a new T-shirt with the slogan on it, "I have more boyfriends than Taylor Swift."
That's funny.
Yeah, it is funny, because, you know, she's had a lot of ex-boyfriends, because she's a whore. Well, Swift's loyal army of followers were quick to express their disappointment, so much so that Abercrombie & Fitch has pulled the T-shirt from their shelves.
Really? Are you kidding me?
Come on. If you try to call their corporate offices to voice your disgust at the fact that Taylor Swift would even potentially be mocked, there is a message saying, "If you are calling regarding the Taylor Swift T-shirt, please note that this item is no longer available."
Weak.
That's so weak.
Weak on their part.
My line of Tadoff Switler T-shirts featuring Taylor with a little tiny mustache in the middle of her lip, that's still available.
Still available.
So pick that up. This is pretty cool. You know, it's nice when one Jersey boy salutes another. Bruce Springsteen last night paid tribute to the late James Gandolfini by performing his entire 1975 album Born to Run in concert. They were in Coventry, England, and Bruce announced that they'd be playing the album in full to dedicate it to the former star of HBO Sopranos. Jimmy was a Jersey boy and a huge Springsteen fan, say his friends. The Boss and his music, of course, were featured a lot in The Sopranos, and then you add the extra connection of Steven Van Zandt from the E Street Band was also a cast mate of Gandolfini's. So that was a nice tribute they did last night. Speaking of music, could you play drums for 24 consecutive hours?
Muggs could.
Well, sure. Well, he likes beats and bear claws.
No, 24 hours straight doesn't seem like it.
What's the derivative of drums? That's what Andrew W.K. did. He was in New York, in Times Square. They put him up in a storefront so folks could see him. And he played drums for 24 hours straight.
That's a terrible idea.
He broke the record for longest drum session in a retail store.
That exists?
That is a thing. That's a lame-ass record. I'm gonna beat the record for longest drum session in the back of a Volvo. I mean, how specific are we going to get?
You can do it for 2 minutes
exactly,
and have the record.
And then I win.
Right.
So apparently Chad Smith of Red Hot Chili Peppers and Questlove from The Roots also came down to support him. So it was
I myself am a drummer.
Sure.
So and I've been lucky to have been exposed to bunch of different types of music. My dad grew up listening to jazz.
Sure.
And he loves all sorts of stuff. I'm not closed minded. But that aside,
right.
Let me see what else we could talk about here.
Right. Was somebody being interviewed?
No.
Go on.
At least now we know.
Let me tell you guys something. I'm a drummer.
Okay.
I love beats.
Right.
Good. I'm not good at producing beats, but let me tell you, I could get behind a kit and play the drums. If you guys ever need a drummer,
right. Again, is there somebody there that you're interviewing, or are we just listening to you talk?
Well, now we know the derivative of Beer Mug's love for drums.
Continue, please.
Come on out tonight, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood. What are you doing tonight at 10 o'clock? You know what? You're getting into trouble. That's what you're going to do. So what you're going to do is you're going to come down and see us. Me, Kevin Smith, doing our Hollywood Babylon show at the Improv
at 10 p.m. Get in trouble with you guys.
Get in trouble with us. Sit in and we'll make fun of Northwest all night long. It's going to be a good time.
That's a terrible idea.
Get tickets at improv.com or csmod.com for the show tonight at 10.
The hour is coming.
The hour is coming. It's coming rapidly. I got to write a show. Today's celebrity birthdays. David Morrissey, you know him as the governor. Scary dude.
Creepy.
Yeah.
He was also in a great British show called Viva Blackpool. I don't know if you ever saw that. Kevin, you would hate it. It's about this little seaside community that has gambling and stuff, and he runs a casino nightclub, and intermittently, they just break into song.
Oh, it depends. If it's bad, I would love it.
It's not bad. It's great.
Then I would.
Are they choirs?
No, they're not choirs. No. David Marcy, 49 years old today. Actress Juliette Lewis is 40. Mike Einziger of Incubus, 37 years old. Erica Durance, Lois Lane from Smallville. Whew, that's a good deal right there, Erica Durance.
Nothing wrong with that.
She's 35 years old. Chris Pratt, very funny and talented man, is 34 years old. Brandon Flowers, The Killers, is 32. And Lana Del Rey turns 27 years old today.
Obviously.
Obviously. Idiots. How did you not know that? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I think this one's going to be fun. I am very excited. Our guest in studio is a comedian, actor, writer, Bobby Lee. You know him from everything from, Animal Practice most recently on NBC, but everything from The League and Arrested Development and Mad TV, of course, Pineapple Express. But most people think you're the guy in The Hangover. Is that right,
yes,
Bobby?
Yes, or they think really I'm the girl from Grey's Anatomy, which is annoying. I go, I'm not Sandra. They go, we're a big fan. I'm not Sandra.
Bobby Lee is on stage tonight at the Brea Improv. He's doing two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night, and then one show on Sunday. You should
plugs.
Go see him at BreaImprov.com. All right, what's the deal, Bobby? Let's lay it out for the audience here, because you've had a rough 12 hours, my friend. What's going on?
I didn't sleep at all because I was so excited to do your show. Mm-hmm. And I did two shows last night, and I bombed. And I was going to kill myself, but then I go, I have to do Kevin and Bean, so you guys saved my life.
But wait, so you bombed last night for two shows?
Yeah, one of them was packed for the beautiful women.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that throw you off or something?
Well, they look at me and they give me a kind of stink eye, you know what I mean? Because I'm not Dane or Crystal Lee, like a handsome white guy, you know?
Right, gotcha. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually white myself. I just have jaundice.
He did just look at...
Or you're Korean.
He did just look at Lisa May and say, do you like my mustache?
He did.
Yeah.
But I was so fascinated with his hair, I hadn't gotten that far yet.
But the thing is with my mustache, though, is what people don't get is that I'm Asian, and this is a miracle. Like, this took me 12 years ago.
No, I had not.
It's literally just me and Judge Ito, and that's it. You know what I mean?
Now that you mentioned it, yes, they're very rare.
It's very rare. It took me a very long time. You white people, can I call you white people?
Of course.
It takes you a day or two.
We prefer honky.
Oh, you honkies, you know what I mean, just grow hair, you know? And I'm jealous, that's all.
What is going on with the hair? Because Lisa cannot stop touching it.
Well, my hair is, I have thick Asian hair. You know what I mean? It's like a Lego.
It does look like a Lego.
Lego haircut. And they call it the Justin Bieber, which is crap because Asians have had this haircut for millions of years.
And then Bieber comes along and ruins it for everyone.
Yeah, you can't call like Will Smith's haircut, you know, the Will Smith haircut. It's an afro.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just because he came along, you know?
Right.
That makes
so
sense.
That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean?
So the white man has co-opted you, then, and that is very disappointing. I can understand where you're coming from.
It did. It looked like
we
a
prefer
wig.
Honkies.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, honkies.
Sorry.
Yeah.
All right, Bobby.
Yeah.
Why? Look, you're a professional comedian. You've been doing this for a long time. You're very successful.
For 60 years, I've been doing this.
You're very popular.
And old.
Yeah, thank you.
So you're a guy, when you get on stage, the audience is already on your side. They're there to root for you.
Yeah.
How did you bomb so badly last night?
I don't know. I just, you know, when there's like pretty people in the crowd in LA especially, you know what I mean? I just tense up, you know? Because
really?
I always feel like deep down inside, like George Lucas or something's in the audience, but he's not there.
No, he's not. Why would you think that? What?
Because I just see a bearded man in the audience. I go, that's George Lucas. It's that reverse racism. So sorry. But, no, I just feel like, you know, I'm going to burn bridges, right? Because. What if you perform and, like, William Morris himself is there?
Right.
You know what I mean? And he's like, you stink, kid. And then it's over, you know?
But then you go on and stink, which then becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
But can I say something?
Yeah.
Here's the magic of it.
All right.
I didn't really stink. It's in my head.
I see.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well,
not really.
No.
So you killed.
I did okay.
But you said to yourself that I bombed.
Yeah, I always go into things negatively.
Uh-huh.
Like, if in an audition, oh, this is going to be the worst. So then if it's bad, then I can go, I told you.
To yourself.
Yeah, like when I'm, you know, can I say making love to a woman?
Sure.
You can say
it's
that.
It's very not optimistic. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then, you know, afterwards when she said, that was okay, I go, see, I win.
High five.
Yeah, high five.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nailed
see,
it.
So life,
and her.
Life really works out for me.
I see.
Yeah.
Low expectations.
Yeah,
that's
low
the key.
Expectations. That's my key. You
I
know?
Like
okay.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Bobby, you strike me as a guy who would be, if you weren't an entertainer, you would be unemployable.
No, I would be like a weird job, like a koi fish farmer. You know what I mean? Or I'd be just chopping corn, you know what I mean? Or something, you know?
Chopping corn isn't a job.
That's unemployable, though, basically.
Oh, that is?
Yeah, I mean,
you can't do that here?
Bean's saying that he doesn't see you in a normal 9-to-5 job.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then I'm lucky, I guess. You know, I guess in any other, you know, time period, I'd be homeless.
Probably.
Although there was no such thing as an Asian homeless person.
Right?
Have you ever seen one?
I don't.
Because we have something called work ethic. That's why.
I don't think I have.
I never have.
That is very heavy.
It's heavy, isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you never see an Asian NASCAR driver.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there'd be a lot of wreckage. Right? Just a lot of cars on fire. In the race starts, he's going in reverse. You know what I mean? It would be a bad race. There's Asian porn stars. No Asian porn stars. Let's just cut at that. Male, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Think about
it.
Think about it. I didn't do it.
Right. I got
people driving, they know.
Bobby Lee is here on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way. We're going to take a break in a moment. He's at the Brea Improv all weekend long.
I love
you
the plugs.
Go to BreaImprov.com and buy your tickets. Tickets just $20 to see Bobby, by the way, and he could suck.
No, I'm going to be great.
He tells himself that he sucks.
Yeah,
so that
I get
he
naked and stuff at the end of my show and
I'm sorry?
I get naked.
Are you
show?
Trying to sell tickets?
Yeah. Listen, my body's shaped like a scallop, and it's very original. Look, have you seen my... I mean, I don't want to do it here.
Please
it's
don't.
Radio. I won't, Kevin, okay. I promise.
All right.
This is my first time on your show, so I'm not going to burn a bridge.
Next time.
Is it true that there was a time in your act, Bobby, and I don't remember where I heard this.
Yeah.
Probably from you. But is there... did you do a bit in your act at one time where you showed the audience your butthole?
Oh, really?
True or false? We're going to have to take a break.
All right, we'll take a break. I'll explain that later, okay?
When we come back with Bobby Lee, he will answer the question. Did he, in fact, show the audience?
Comedian, actor, writer Bobby Lee in studio with us right now on The Kevin and Bean Show. You can follow him on Twitter at Bobby Lee Live. You can see him on stage at the Brea Improv this week. And his appearance this morning is brought to you by Red Bull.
That is true.
Bobby, we have so much we have to talk about in the limited amount of time that we have.
Yes.
But the butthole story. Now, please explain.
I was at the Tempe Improv. This was like 12 years ago. I was opening for Carlos Mencia. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of people in the audience that I guess didn't speak English or whatever.
Okay.
And I got scared. And so my closer was I pulled my pants down and I showed them my calamari.
Now, is that your go-to closer?
No.
It happened that night?
I took a chance.
Uh-huh.
I thought this was going to get a standing ovation.
Right.
And it backfired.
Okay.
Literally.
So everybody didn't stand up and go, yes.
No, they banned me from the club for 12 years.
They banned you for 12 years.
And my parents live in Phoenix, you know, so I wasn't, they never saw me.
Wow.
To perform there.
When are you going to perform there? I'm not, Mom.
I'm not. Yeah. Well, why did you do that, Bobby? I mean, why did you show them your bonbon? I don't know, Dad. I don't know why. It's yellow and fat. No one will want to see that. You know,
but that's a strange go-to.
I'm sorry.
When I get nervous, you know,
that's
sometimes
not your
I don't move. Have to fight, like, should I or should I not show my butthole? That's not a conversation I have.
Yeah, and I think I went a little too far with it.
You think?
Yeah.
Too far?
I spread the cheek. Can I say that?
Well, you already did.
Yeah.
We got it.
Yeah, so that's that. And
so you gave him a look inside.
Yes. It was more scientific, actually.
Okay.
You know?
But the good news is your prostate is fine.
It's perfectly fine. I'm very clean. And, I made a mistake. And, guys, I'll never do it again. Okay, Brea Improv? I promise I'm not going to do that tonight.
Please do it at Brea Improv. No, don't do it today. Do it Sunday.
I have another question for you, Bobby, because you are of Korean descent. You are American, though. You're born in the United States,
I was born
right?
in San Diego, dude.
Okay, great.
Nice.
Here's a question I have, because Kevin and I have been doing this job for a long time. We've been to lots of meetings where they've explained to us that there's no such thing as a racial stereotype.
Yeah.
Even if it's a good one, it's not true and it doesn't exist and we can't reference it. That's how beaten down we are.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to ask you about a particular person that I saw who happened to be an elderly Asian woman. Why did she have that thing on her face while she drove that looked like a welding mask?
I see a woman like that every
just
day.
Just that one person. I'm not saying lots of them do. I'm not saying all they all do. I'm just saying that one. Tell me what's going on with that
I'm tell you what it is, and it's called pure kindness. All right? She's sick, and she doesn't want to get you sick.
She's in her car.
I know. And that's how cool she is. I mean, she has double protection.
I see.
Right? The car, her face, and, you know, what do other people do? They're sick. They go to work at McDonald's. They have boogers coming out of their nose, right? They touch your hamburger or whatever, right? And Asians were polite. You know what I mean?
So she's wearing that around, not just in the car, but just walking around the mall, too?
Yeah, she does that walking around the mall. Yeah, and because she's
a sneeze guard.
Yeah, and when she's over her cold, right?
She'll still wear it.
Yes, for fashion. Because she's also a ninja. You know what I mean?
Ninjas don't wear those.
Yeah. What?
Well, ninjas don't wear those.
Yeah, well, it's for females.
Oh, I've never said. I don't know the difference between female and male ninja.
My point, you know what about ninjas, though? Why do they wear masks? I mean, they're Asians. They all look kind of the same. Right? I mean, you're going to see a ninja in a tree go, hey, that's Steve Yamamoto. No, you're going to be like ninja and you're going to run. You know?
Yeah.
Is that too stereotypical?
No, no, that's great.
Yeah, I wrote that joke 17 years ago. Thanks for listening, guys.
That's great for you.
That's excellent. All right. Brea Improv, two shows tonight, two shows Saturday night.
Can I say something before I leave, though?
Yes.
Well, and then I was going to ask you about the TV show. I mean, that's where I'm headed, if that's what you wanted me to do.
Oh, I love you, Bean.
Seth Meyers, who we're huge fans of from his work on Saturday Night Live, and of course he's getting ready to take over for Jimmy Fallon too on NBC.
Congratulations, Seth.
The project that you have with him is separate from that. It's not the late night show. It's a different animated series, right?
Yeah, it's called The Awesomes, and it's going to be on Hulu. And it's like six of us, and we're superheroes, and it's really funny.
What's your power?
I'm a little Asian kid who gets mad and he turns into a sumo wrestler.
Okay, so a big fat guy.
Yeah, I turn into a fat guy, and then when I'm not angry, then I turn back into a nerd, you know?
Okay.
But it's like Rachel Dratch is in it and Kenan Thompson, so I think it should be cool.
Oh, nice.
That sounds funny.
When does that, when can we
in
see
August,
it?
In August. Hulu.
All right.
He's jumping up and down.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm also in Arrested Development, so watch that too.
Are you going to be safe driving home after this?
I'm not
going
to drive home. I'm going to drive straight to Brea. I'm going to find a hotel. I'm going to sleep all day, and then I'm going to do my shows.
What kind of car do you have so our audience can avoid you on the freeway?
I have a Prius.
Of course you do. Brea Improv all weekend long. Go to Brea
Improv. I love you guys. Thanks for having me on. Seriously.
Why do you interrupt him every time he's trying to give you a plug?
Because I feel like you're going to cut me off and then I can't say my thank yous.
All right. Well, you're welcome. Bean, you want to give the plug again without him interrupting?
I do not.
All
see
right.
you, Bobby.
Sorry.
Pierce the Veil, All Time Low, Data Remember, Pennywise, Bad Religion, The Offspring, so much more. We're talking about the 5th Annual Epicenter Concert coming up September 21st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, courtesy of your friends at K-Rock. Tickets go on sale today, by the way. Get all the details at krock.com and keep listening to win. Congratulations to John Bobbitt from Tarzana. He won this hour. We've got more for you before the end of the show here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Time to spin the wheel of bad animal voices. We have a lot of news stories on here, so bear with me as I try to read Chip's writing.
Okay.
And get through what's on the wheel. Tie the tiger with the world's largest hairballs. Right. The Florida crazy drunk ants that eat electrical equipment.
Oh, yeah.
I love them.
Morris the cat running for the mayor in Mexico. The giant Iranian rats, man face, the fetal cat mistaken for a mountain lion. I don't know why it's not mistaken for a man. Killer Asian tiger mosquitoes, Hamilton the hipster cat, Scooter the fugitive llama that got tased, Willie the foul-mouthed cockatoo, the loud horny cicadas, and Ralph, Britain's fattest rabbit.
Oh my God.
So let's do it.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and Bean don't care, so we'll do it anyway.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
I'm zero for about a million on the wheel-o. I'm hoping for Ralph, the Britain's fattest rabbit, but let's see where it lands.
I may have spun that too well.
That was great. That was great, great action.
Oh, sorry, Bean. It's Morris, the cat running for the mayor in Mexico.
Oh, yes!
Morris. It's a cat running to be mayor.
How is a cat running to be the mayor of a Mexican city? I don't understand.
The city of Jalapa.
Okay.
Is holding elections, and there is a cat that is trying to be put on the ballot. We have Morris on the phone with us now.
What?
Hi, Morris.
Hola.
Morris, how's it going today, buddy?
He's good. How are you?
Very good. No, we're fine. Is it true? Do we understand correctly from our media here that you are running to be the mayor of Jalapa?
Yes, they have me running for the mayor.
Okay. And
he's good.
You don't sound very excited.
I am excited.
Okay.
This is as good excited as I get.
Okay. All right.
What is this something you wanted to do, or did people convince you, or are they writing you in, or why you?
No, they approached me, and they say, we won't put your name on the ballot. And I say, okay.
Their slogan, and I'm guessing somebody else came up with this, not you, is Jalapa without rats.
Yes, they say that we got lots of rats in the politics. And so you'll be good to take out the rats. And then I find out it's not really rats.
No, it's crooked politicians.
Stupid.
Is what they mean.
That's stupid. I can't eat no crooked politicians.
Right. But yeah, you'll be in charge, though, so...
So what, then?
I don't know. You tell me. I'm not running.
No, you tell me. I'm a cat.
Right.
So basically...
Yo soy gato.
That's right. You are a cat. Right. So basically what they're doing is they're using you to kind of point out how worthless politicians are because they say you're going to be just like anybody else. You're going to just sleep and do nothing if you're elected just like whoever the other candidates are.
Yes, that's all funny. And then what? When I'm actually mayor, then who's laughing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean...
Not me, stupid.
Yeah, what
I'll be mayor.
You'll be mayor.
What do you want to do if you are, in fact, mayor? What changes would you make to Jalapa?
If I become mayor, here's what I like to do. Okay. I like to eat whisker lickings.
Right.
I like to lick a lot of my body.
Right.
Okay.
And then, like, you know, hairballs come out.
Right.
I would, if I was mayor, I promise to poop in a box full of dirt. And then cover it up. Thank you. God bless America.
Wait, why God bless America?
God bless Mexico.
Mike Catherwood, co-host of the Loveline Show, is going to be in after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean program. He's the host of the Psycho Body that we do occasionally.
Are you with me? With
what does he know about physical fitness? Look at him. He's a blob, that guy.
He was a trainer for a long time.
Mm-hmm. So fat now, though, right?
But you have to live like him to look like that.
Yeah, no one would want to.
That's what he says. Oh, you want like this? You have to live like that. And no one wants to live like that.
You don't know.
Let me save you like 40 minutes of airtime and say, nobody wants to do what he's going to tell you to do. And let me help you people who are listening. You'll never look like that because you won't do what he does.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right. Now we have a whole half hour freed up. We can do something else.
Psycho talk body. To the Mexican cat some more.
Coming up on the Kevin
talk
Beach
to the
show.
Fetal cat.
No one said fetal.
All right, we'll pull some tape and we'll see what happens.
In Kevin's defense, though, he did say Chip's handwriting is awful, and it probably looked like fetal.
Okay.
Not feral.
All right.
Fetal does not make sense.
That'd be an interesting interview.
Showbiz beat. Now here's Ralph.
Before I get to showbiz news, how about a four-pack of passes to the premiere of Despicable Me 2?
Yay!
The big party is tomorrow night, June 22nd, at the Gibson Amphitheater. Despicable Me 2, of course, the sequel to the hugely popular animated film starring Steve Carell as Gru. Ken Jeong and Kristen Wiig co-star along Steve this time around. It's the red carpet world premiere at the Gibson Amphitheater. And when Universal does one of these things up at Gibson, it really is a lollapalooza. It's a shindig. It's a hootenanny is what it is. And you'll have a good time. You get to bring three friends. It's you and three friends, a four-pack of passes. Right now, callers number 20, let's say since it's the 22nd is when it's happening, 22 and 23. Callers number 22 and 23 will get a four pack of passes to the premiere of Despicable Me 2.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
And we'll get right back. We'll take down your information and we'll throw it around and run it past the staff. Despicable Me 2 is in theaters on Wednesday, July the 3rd, by the way, in case you don't win and you want to see it anyways. Northwest! No, it's not me helping Lisa May out with the traffic report. Northwest is a name that a child now has. According to TMZ.com, porn star Kim Kardashian and her baby daddy, Kanye West, have named their daughter North West.
So North is North. Her first North. Name. Not what did we think yesterday? Cadence or something?
Cadence. Donda West was a rumor, a false rumor apparently. Here's the thing. Jay Leno asked her on The Tonight Show, is it true you're considering naming your daughter North? And she said, no.
Oh, really?
I wonder if he gave him the idea.
And she went back and said, we should name her North.
Well, I think Jay Leno's smart. That's good.
He asked that, Lisa, because that had been rumored.
Oh, okay.
That was out there. And I guess she squashed it at the time. That's weird.
Yeah.
Like, how do you come to your senses and say no, but then change your mind and go crazy again and say yes down the road?
Well, she realized that she could spell with a silent K in front of it. Then that'd be perfect.
There you go.
Northwest.
Maybe this is one of those deals where they didn't know what they were going to name the baby until they saw her, and then she just looks like a North.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The way she was pointed when she came out.
Right, exactly.
So it's a good name for a daughter who will have no moral compass whatsoever to call her North. I think there's a certain irony there that I appreciate.
That poor baby has no idea what Kris Jenner is all about.
How do you not go with Adam, by the way? How do you not go with Adam?
Well, maybe they're not huge fans of the original Batman series.
Well, they're fools then. Right. You got, if your name is last name is West, you just name your child Adam.
All right.
God damn it.
This is Adam West.
Hey, Adam.
Get a life, Ralph.
Hey, what the? That hurts my feelings.
Hey, Ralph.
Yeah.
This is Adam West.
Hey, Adam.
You know, even I am getting tired of your talking about me.
I don't buy that for a minute. Saw Adam the other day, by the way.
Did you?
He's healing up very nicely. He had hurt his back severely.
Oh, I didn't know that.
A couple months ago. But he's back and getting around, not gingerly. I mean, he's not as spry as he was, but he's healing and well and is doing okay. So, and he sends his love to everybody.
Has he heard West on West yet?
I don't believe he has. I think I saw him just before we did that.
Right.
I ran him over at the Family Guy Studios. He was doing some voices, but he's doing well and looks great.
Hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
I don't know how this became the Adam West update, but I like it. Well, since we're talking about superheroes and people who play them, Robert Downey Jr., it has been announced yesterday, will be returning. He will be getting back into the armor. He will be Iron Man once again in Avengers 2 and has signed also for a third Avengers movie.
Are they just giving him all money?
Yes, that is what the contract says. The bottom just says total do all. And, you know, it was announced also earlier in the week that Joss Whedon has said that we will have Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver also in the Avengers 2 movie. So it's very exciting times in the superhero
world. He or she
world.
Or they are all great. I'm looking forward to
you
it.
You know
them.
Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Of course.
Brother and sister, superheroes. Look at Kevin. He's wearing a Quicksilver t-shirt.
Come on now.
Just by sheer accident.
Who's more into that character than me?
Nobody.
Maybe your fetal cat.
And you know what his superpower, Kevin.
Of course.
Tell everybody, since you're such a big fan.
It's fast.
There you go. He's fast. He's
Quicksilver.
He's like the Flash. He's
sure.
Quicksilver. And Scarlet Witch is a mentalist, of course. Got psychic powers.
Right.
Looking forward to that. Aren't we all?
Sure.
Let it go. Wanted to move rehabs again.
What?
Again?
Yeah, yeah. She asked the court that she be removed from Cliffside, Malibu, where she's currently being treated, to the Seafield Center in West Hampton Beach, New York. Here's the funny part. That was the first place she was supposed to go.
What? That's the place that she fled the night before?
No. That was another place in California.
Oh. No, but she flew out on an overnight flight from New York. At the last minute to go to one here.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Right?
Because she wasn't going to go to that one because she rejected it, and then she went to the one out here.
Now she wants to go.
She wants to go back. And the judge said, no. No, you're done.
Enough moving?
They said the move from Betty Ford to Cliffside was a one-time thing, and you will stay there for the remainder of your sentence, said the court. So she shan't be moving again. And I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I do too.
Let's just leave her where she is for the time being.
Forever, right?
Yes. And Armie Hammer, soon to be seen as the Lone Ranger. I can't wait for that movie, by the way.
Looks
Am I the
good.
Only one who's excited
no,
about
good.
That film? He was talking to Playboy magazine about his life as a young actor and his relationships. He is very happily married now to the beautiful Elizabeth Chambers. But when he was single, he had some good times. Could you imagine? Good-looking fella. Big,
sure.
Strapping fella.
Sure.
He said not all of his relationships were fulfilling. One of his prior girlfriends tried to stab him with a butcher's knife during sex,
oh,
for example.
Wow.
During sex.
During sex.
Huh.
He says that while they were having sex, Lisa, she told him true love leaves scars, and you don't have any. And that's when she pulled out a butcher's knife and tried to stab him with it.
All right!
He said he immediately broke up with her 7 months later.
Really?
Yes.
She must have been good.
How good was she in bed?
Must have been
very. Wow.
Oh, look, I know she tried to stab me, but that thing she does. With her
I could put up
index finger. And the caramel syrup? Forget about it. I'll
put up with this.
I'll run my wrist.
Random stab.
I got
attempt.
A Kevlar vest in the closet. It all seems like it's worthwhile. Stab.
That seems bad.
That does seem bad. I had a girl wield a knife on me, but it wasn't while we were having sex. I mean, come on, that's crazy.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily good at any time.
I guess not, but yeah. Yeah, on my birthday, I was threatened with a knife. That was a good time.
She's just crazy.
I got to write a book. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Doug Savant. You know him from Desperate Housewives?
Mm-hmm.
Melrose Place?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Very nice guy. 49 years old today. We've had him here on the show. He's a lovely man. David Morrissey from Walking Dead, of course, plays the governor on that.
When's that come back?
October? I think that sounds right to me.
October,
I think. 49 years old today. Juliet Lewis is 40. Mike Einziger of Incubus, 37 years old. Chris Pratt, he's 34. Brandon Flowers of The Killers is 32. Erica Durance, Lois Lane from Smallville. She, I think, is my favorite Lois. 35 years old. And singer Lana Del Rey. She's 27 years old.
Obviously.
Obviously. How do you not know that? Do some research. Open up a blog. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
How much do we have to pay you, Mike, to come back and replace Beer Mug? I'm serious this time.
Beer Mug is a beautiful human being.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Catherwood joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
First thing out of his mouth is a lie.
That's not true. Beer Mug's a great man overall.
Thank you, Mike.
He could use some help in dressing.
Yeah.
Like, he can get in his appearance could use some help. But besides that, he's a great man.
Well, this is kind of related to why you're here today, Mike, because I always ask you, isn't it shocking that Muggs is still in his 20s? Because you look at him, he looks like a 50-year-old bum. But the reason you are here today is to help the kids, because today is the first full day of summer. Yesterday was the solstice, so
yes.
Summer is today. Today is the first full day of summer, and that is panic season for many people listening to us right now, correct?
Yeah, it's like, it's as if...
But
every woman has a wedding coming up. It's just, you know, especially here in Southern California.
But
where
if you're panicked about getting into a swimsuit, shouldn't you have panicked a little earlier than today?
Oh, but most people, by and large, don't do that, Kevin.
Okay.
They wait till it's just almost ready to happen. How many times have you got any? Even you guys who are not like quote unquote fitness experts, how many times have you guys heard the bridesmaid or the bride say, "Well, the wedding's next week, right?
Yeah.
I got 40. I can use 40 by then."
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
people really like to procrastinate when it comes to getting in shape.
And we're going to be taking your calls like we do when Mike stops by for the Psycho Body at 1-800-520-1067. What specifically are we looking for today, do you think, Mike?
Well, I would imagine like pretty general diet and exercise tips are what everybody wants to look for when it comes to getting in shape and what you can do to really enhance your appearance. Because there is a difference, and that's a big point I like to make to people who approach me about fitness and health advice, is that there is healthy activities in food, and then there are diet activities in food. And there is a little, a middle ground where they meet, like a little Venn diagram where there's that little shaded area. But for the most part, they can be two separate things. So if you want to get in shape to look good, or if you want to revamp your life to feel better, oftentimes they can be separate things, and they can take separate courses.
Now, I'd like to suggest that everything that is heard here today, you fact check somewhere else.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Mike is not a doctor?
I'm just saying.
No. I'm the guy on Loveline that you can trash on Twitter. Because I am not a doctor.
That's
I have no clinical experience and really no reason to be giving advice.
Now, what about this, Mike? And I bring this up all the time, especially with Muggs, because look at him. He's going to be dead in a year. The key to losing weight, for instance, and I firmly believe this, is not to diet. Am I wrong?
In a weird way, you're exactly right. It's to figure out a way to enhance your lifestyle so it's more appropriate for looking and feeling better.
But nobody wants to live like you.
But I disagree.
I mean, I look at you and I think, that's a terrible way to live.
I disagree. I feel like, look, Joe Manganiello from True Blood and Magic Mike was on Loveline just last night.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's a guy who, his physique really is his livelihood.
Yeah,
he talks
agreed.
About, and he said that, the difference between him when he has a better physique than most people on Earth and him when he's getting ready for a shirtless scene in True Blood, even the difference between that is tremendous. He said, I live my life in a healthy fashion. And I think that's like very it's very similar to how I live my life, where I eat, truly eat kind of how I want to eat. And I enjoy certain treats weekly. I don't live my life to the excess when it comes to health and fitness that I think it's unattainable for everybody. You know, like to go how you see these guys and gals on the cover of magazines really is a difference. There's a difference between that and just how they live their everyday life.
Right, of
to
course.
To peak and to get into that kind of condition that almost looks cartoonish is not attainable for everybody. But to have a really good looking body that you're proud of when you're by the pool or when you go to the beach is attainable for most everybody. And it doesn't take that much of an alteration from your lifestyle.
I will give Mike credit for not forcing his lifestyle on other people. At his party the other night, he did have a table full of nothing but just candy.
I've never seen more chocolate. I saw the photos. I've never seen more chocolate in one location in my life.
I ate gummy bears until I puked.
My wife actually went to like...
Like the best.
weird, crazy fat people websites that are like, if candy is not good enough for you, here is excessive amounts of candy and marshmallows the size of pumpkins.
Yeah, they were the size of my head.
Like over the top stuff. She's like, no. Just going down to Smart and Final or Costco ain't gonna cut it. I need to go to like
the
over the top like Honey Boo Boo candy store and have they delivered it on pallets on a flatbed from
my
Texas or something.
God.
Nuts.
And then I ate most of it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one more thing. And again, we're gonna go to the calls if you have diet or exercise questions for our friend Mike Catherwood from Loveline. It's the Psychobody at 1-800-520-1067. And that is, could you recommend to Kevin and Bean listeners that maybe this summer they want to incorporate a little mancercise into their diet and exercise program?
Probably the best overall form of exercise.
You can get that at kevinandbean.com.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mike Catherwood. This is my good friend Jonathan Cantrell. Our inspiration, Joanna Rohrbach. She really changed our life. She changed our health. She changed our well-being with Prancercise.
Now, Prancercise is basically just her... Prancing. How do you describe prancing?
It is. I mean, it's right there in the title. She just kind of gallops around.
She gallops
around. And looks very happy.
I know she's helped thousands of you around the world.
By that, you mean none.
We were so inspired by Joanna and her work that we started Mancercise. So we're out here in Venice, California. We're about to get started with some Mancercise. Won't you join us?
Let's do it.
Let's get the blood pumping with just some standard mancing.
Standard mancing.
So if you want that guy to give you some advice, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We'll take your calls next.
It's time for the Psychobody.
Don't just get fit, get psycho. Don't just get strong, get psycho. Don't just get big, get psycho. It's the Psychobody with your host, Psycho Mike. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. Sure. 1-800-520-1067. That's our telephone number. Our friend Mike Catherwood, co-host of the Loveline Show, is here with us today. He knows a little something about fitness, but he is not a doctor, so please consult yours. Let's try Derek to get us going. He's on line 8, and he's up first here on the Kevin and Bean Show for the Psycho Body. Hi, Derek. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, Derek.
Yeah, Mike, I was calling to find out, what's your take on CrossFit, especially for someone who's a little older, over 40?
I think that it's a great way to get people to really understand high intensity training and to get the everyday dude, you know, some level of competition to inspire him. But there is, you know, my only concern is the programming of it can be unsafe. And a lot of people do get injured. Even really healthy, very, you know, muscular, you know, in shape people get injured going into CrossFit. So if you're going to do it, I just think you should highly research what CrossFit gym you join, because you know that'll change things a lot.
Any particular dangers for an older person, though?
I don't think so, because they do have a way of scaling all their workouts to lower weights or lower different rep schemes and things like that. They scale it to your level of fitness and your age and things like that.
Okay.
Are you here in L.A., Derek?
Yes, I am.
In Santa Monica, CrossFit L.A. really is. It's one of the best around. So if you're going to do it, I would say, like I said, really investigate which CrossFit gym you go into.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Brenda next. She's on line 7. Brenda, you're on with Psycho Mike with the Psycho Body.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. I was looking into detox programs.
Damn, scandalous.
Yes, that girl.
Is that what I sound like?
No. I don't sound like, you don't sound like that at all. No, stupid.
I do work in East LA.
What?
Off on me.
All right, detox programs.
Yeah, I've been looking into 3-day, 5-day, 7-day, and they're mostly fruits and veggies, but I'm scared to try them, and I don't know if they're safe or I don't know if, what would be the best way to go.
I mean,
I'm going to let you answer in just a minute. Yes. But fruits and vegetables are scary to me as
well. Yeah, I can understand being scared, especially if you work at King Taco. The thing is, Brenda, look, obviously, like Kevin points out, it's actually a good point. There's nothing wrong with eating more fruits and vegetables. But when it comes to, quote unquote, detoxing the body in these different programs and, you know, drink cayenne pepper water for right. 7 days. The human body is an incredible machine. It is unbelievable how adaptive it is, and it helps you survive eating poisons. And it certainly can handle the everyday life, even for people who eat nothing but fast food. So as far as like ridding your body of impurities and things like that, just exercising and drinking enough water, making sure your body's lubricated and hydrated, and having a healthy diet is going to detoxify your body plenty.
She doesn't need to do it.
No. There's no need for the body to have some special detoxification.
Can she do anything about the crispy hair?
Yeah.
I do not have any.
Stupid.
All right, Brenda, thank you for the call.
Are your eyebrows made of paint, or are they made of hair?
I've got natural everything.
You're the best, Brenda. Thank you.
Go Doyers. All right, let's go to Angie. She's on line 6, and she has one of the most commonly asked questions, Mike, and I thought this might be useful to many people listening right now.
Hey, Angie.
Hey, Mike.
Hello.
Hey, everyone.
Hi.
Hey, so question. Long story short, I do hardcore workouts every day, fitness, healthy dieting, but here's my issue. I see the results on my body, but I don't see it on the scale. And pretty much I do at least 3 minutes of cardio every day, burn 400 calories easy. I hit the weight. I love the results with the muscle I see in my body, but I'm not digging what I see on the scale. So how do I fix that?
So your body's in better shape, but you're just not losing weight that you want to lose?
Why do you care what the scale says if you like the way you look?
No, it's just because I just want to get back to a certain weight I was before, and my body's like almost there, but not the scale. So I wouldn't mind losing that 10 pounds before summer hits in, you know?
All right.
Well, I mean, Lisa brings up a good point. And just because your body was at a certain weight at some point in your life when you liked your body, it doesn't mean things are going to be the same now. Your metabolism changes as you age, and maybe you have gained some muscle mass since the last time you weighed yourself. And you, what was even appropriate for what's appropriate for another person or another gender or another line of work is not going to be appropriate for you. And what was appropriate for Angie even 5 years ago is not appropriate nowadays. I definitely, if you don't have a problem being overweight, then I don't even think that the scale's a useful factor at all, unless you're going to compete in some type of sport that needs you to be at a certain weight. Mm-hmm. So I continue to diet the way you are, and if you feel like you need to lose a little more body fat, manipulate your carbs as best you can without, you know, having it affect your mood or your health, and
especially
really
your mood, Angie.
And really experiment with your own metabolism, because it is so unique to each person. So start to drop carbs and notice how you feel, and get to a point where you can start to look better in your own eyes.
Awesome. Thank you for the call, though. We appreciate it.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you, Angie.
Mike, do you weigh yourself at all ever?
I do now that I've started to really get into the idea of competitive combat sports and stuff like that, and being fat, because you want to see how I kind of size up against guys around my own size or guys who are tremendously bigger than me. Mm-hmm. But I don't put a big premium on how much I weigh. I do it more on how I look and how I feel.
I'm not at all surprised that Mike has figured out a hobby that allows him to wrestle men, by the way. That is something that I have seen coming for a long time. Look, I know we're almost out of time. Yes, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, it's a very manly and a very inspiring thing to do, to get involved in jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai and things like that. But when you're shirtless and really going after it, there is a part of me that I was like, this is pretty sweet if you're gay. like this guy's really muscular and handsome, and I'm going full bore.
We're fighting, but we happen to be in a 69 position.
Yeah. He's teabagging me right now.
Let's take one more. I know we're almost out of time, but I do want to help Heather on line 4, please, because she has a special circumstance I'd like to be able to do something for. Heather, thanks for calling and holding on. You're on with Mike.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Hi there. Good.
Hello.
What's your question?
So my question is I'm in remission. I have cancer.
Okay.
I'm in remission.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been 7 months, and I have very limited mobility in my chest, and I'm also on a chemo pill, so I'm extremely tired. I have low energy, but then my appetite is enormous, and I'm sure that's because my body is healing from all this chemical in my body, so
right.
I just don't know. I mean, I weigh a lot, and the steroids.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Steroids and steroids.
Steroids pack the pounds.
They also make you hungry, don't they?
Without question, yeah.
You got everything going against you right now. Yeah. Anything we can do for Heather?
Yes. Heather, look, you obviously have a special set of circumstances, and what's paramount here is your health and your remission, not, you know, how you look. And I know that's hard to hear. Everybody wants to look their best and things, but you got to remember that the fighting the disease and making sure that it stays away is absolutely the most important thing. I do know that there is specific physical therapy and physical conditioning programs designed for people going through chemo and who are administered the type of drugs that you're taking. You should definitely talk to your oncologist and see what you can work out. That's part of your, part of your therapy that's already intact.
I am going to physical therapy, but that's for lymphedema, but that doesn't deal with the weight.
Yeah, yeah, no, you can...
Would a yoga class be good for me?
Definitely, without question. Things like yoga, things like low-impact Pilates are great for people with limited mobility, and also they can help, you know, kind of reinvigorate your metabolism. But always, like I said, anything you do, I mean, walking across the street, please do check with your oncologist, because you never know how it's going to react with whatever protocol of medications and diet you have, you know?
Yes. It just stinks.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, it's better to be alive and fat, though, than dead and thin, right?
Without question.
Exactly.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you for the call. Good luck to you, Heather. All right. We're going to have to end it there for the Psycho Buddy, but we're going to ask Mike to stick around because he got one of the most shocking phone calls on Love Line last week from the person you would least expect to be calling into Love Line.
I don't buy it.
Saying the craziest thing.
I don't buy it. I'm saying right now, I don't buy it.
All right. We are going to discuss it with our friend Mike when we return right after this on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, everybody keep an eye on their handbags and their clothes and everything else with Nick Prugo in the next room, man. You don't want to see him walk out with something.
Right? I thought you meant because I'm Mexican.
Nope. It's our guest.
I didn't even think about that.
Okay.
It's our guest coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. He's one of the real-life people portrayed in the new film in theaters called The Bling Ring. He used to break in people's houses and steal stuff. Did the time in jail. He's going to be on today to tell us all about it. Hey, Mike Catherwood from Loveline.
How are you?
How did this thing happen?
Honestly, as organically, and I was as shocked by it as you guys are.
Okay, that's step one of why I don't buy it.
Okay.
Because it's not like this person to reach out and be aggressive in any way whatsoever.
Not at all.
Explain to the listeners what happened.
What was the topic you and Drew were talking about?
On the open forum on Sunday night's show, this last Sunday, we were talking about sexual fetishes and things that you wish you could check off your sexual bucket list.
Right.
Okay. And we were taking calls that really ran the gamut.
Of course.
And the break was over. And at the commercial break, our phone screener, Krista, comes in and says, Rodney Bingenheimer's on the phone, and he really wants to let you know what he wants to check off his bucket. And I said, F you. That's not true.
Right.
And she's like, no, it really is him. So I'm like, well, there's no chance Ralph's up this late. So let me go.
It must be the real guy.
And I get on the phone. And I start, and it's without question, it's the real one because he starts talking.
Let me stop you right there. Just to remind people who don't know who Rodney Bingenheimer is. He has been on K-Rock for 30 years. He does a late night Sunday night new music show. He's a broadcasting legend, but he's a little bit of an odd person. And you're right, Kevin. He's not the type of person who would call into Loveline. That's the only reason you don't believe it?
That's part of why I don't believe it. But then he's so aggressive with his...
I agree.
With his conversation, which to me, again, doesn't sound like him. It sounds like somebody's doing a great impression of him. Well, let's play it.
Okay.
People can make up their own minds. This is from Loveline this past Sunday night.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Pretty good, buddy. How are you?
Dr. Drew.
Right.
I have the ultimate bucket list, and this has been my dream. The ultimate. My bucket list is to make it with two twin girls.
Really?
Twins.
Yes.
Can you imagine twins?
I can't. I used to be
like identical twins.
Yes, I always had that dream.
And what is there any twins like that maybe we know about that you've ever attempted? Kind of like maybe the Olsen twins or any?
That would be something.
Yeah. You're very identical. They have to be identical. Okay. Have you ever tried to just have a young lady and put like a mirror next to her?
I have done that before.
You have? Okay, good. And how do you look in the mirror? The six pack abs? Anything?
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, you're a very powerful and handsome guy. I shouldn't imagine that you've had too much trouble kind of experiencing all your sexual dreams.
I've had most of them, but not twins. Nothing can top twins.
I agree. I do believe that that is something that would be very alluring to most men. Do you ever watch the movie Twins with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger and think to yourself, well, this will have to do for now?
Yeah, I'm the Danny DeVito character.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, it's 1,000% the real Rodney. There's no question about that. It's absolutely Rodney. And second of all, isn't it kind of weird that you want to have sex with sisters who are now kind of having sex in the same room as each other?
No way. That's the ultimate.
Oh, hey.
The best.
Rodney's here? What happened?
Twins. Nothing could top twins. That's the ultimate.
Don't you think that caller was too sharp? For Rodney?
Why are you talking about me like I'm not in the room? That caller, it's me.
You sounded different, Rodney. You sounded a little more on it than normal. Usually you're...
I'm a night owl. That's when I come alive. Twins!
Twins. Mike, you've got a pretty good BS detector. You have no doubt in your mind it was Rodney Bigenhagen, right?
Right. You know, I was Godhead with twins.
What? I have absolutely zero doubt. And the reason, what really sealed it for me was that he went on to plug all the new music he's going to play on the show after Love Live.
Which is,
really?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations to
Brian
whoever that
Wilson
was.
Coming up next, Brian Wilson. One night I had a sleepover with Nelson. That's about as close as I got to my bucket list.
What about the Thompson twins?
Thompson twins, I'm so disappointed. They're not even related.
Twins.
They're not identical or anything.
Tell me about you having sex while looking at yourself in a mirror that you talked about on that call, too.
That's the best. I put a mirror next to a girl.
That's never happened.
And I pretend she's a twin.
You've never done that.
I pretend I'm a twin.
That was a stupid
joke.
Like
Dead Ringers. A David Cronenberg film. About the murderous...
Good reference.
Roddy, who's...
Murderous gynecologist.
Right, we saw that one.
Have you ever made someone airtight with your own reflection, Rodney?
Yeah, I have. That and an inflatable inner tube from like a pool.
Oh.
And Mike Nesmith's hat from the Monkees. I use that too.
Who's your favorite professional baseball team? Do you have one?
Twins.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Minnesota. used to be the Brewers.
Rodney, did you not remember that Psycho Mike physically assaulted you outside of the?
No one really remembers that.
That was him.
Mike threw you up against the fence.
That was. Wait a minute. Now it's all coming back to me.
And kick the shopping cart over.
He thought you were a homeless guy.
Friends.
Up against the fence.
Well, I'm glad you two have made up and are friends now.
It was such an honor talking to you on Loveline the other night, Rodney.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you, Rodney.
Thank you to Dr. Phil and everyone else on the show. It's just the best show.
What are you going to be playing coming up?
Coming up next, I've got new music from... Terrence Trent D'Arby. He's back. Better than ever. His new song, Twin.
Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat, and then next hour, not only from the Bling Ring, the real-life Bling Ring guy, Nick Prugo, will be in here. We'll also give you another chance to win your tickets for the 5th Annual Epicenter show coming up in September with The Offspring, Bad Religion, Pennywise, and more. You can buy those tickets today. Details at krock.com. Good morning, Ralph.
Tonight, 10 p.m. at the Improv. On Melrose in Hollywood, Kevin Smith and I doing our Hollywood Babylon show, 10 p.m. Come on out and see us. You can go to improv.com for tickets and details.
The hour's coming.
We will be talking for sure about Northwest.
That's my favorite part of the country.
No, not where you live, Bean. This is the daughter of porn star Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. North is their name, according to TMZ. They claim they've cut a glimpse of the signed birth certificate, and she is North, no middle name, West.
North.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. North making her way to the stage now. North, everybody. Hey, get your dollar bills out, boys and girls. She doesn't do it for laughs. North. Hitting the pole in 18 years.
Yeah.
North.
That exists.
That happened.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise, the passing of James Gandolfini earlier in the week has boosted sales of The Sopranos Complete Series DVD set. The 30-disc version, which retails for $125, is the top seller at Amazon.com's DVD section right now. People wanting to remember James and remember his role in that amazing TV show. So
you know, it's for that to be number one, and it's $1.25.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, that's significant. That's driving a lot of traffic to that site.
Well, a lot of people, in you know, I don't think it's just because they're, you know, sad because he died. A lot of people are saying, hey, give him his rightful place in TV history. He was the best actor on the best drama of all time. Yeah. So it's quite a loss.
I think a lot of people are saying, oh, my God, I forgot about how wonderful that show was. I haven't seen it in so long. I'd like to revisit it. So
could be.
They're picking up the box set. Bruce Springsteen paid tribute to James last night by performing the entire Born to Run album. James was a huge Springsteen fan. The music was featured a lot in The Sopranos, both Jersey guys, of course. And then there was the connection they had with Steven Van Zandt of the E Street Band, who, of course, was a cast member on that show as well. Steve Van Zandt tweeted, I've lost a brother and a best friend, regarding the passing of James Gandolfini. So a lot of tributes coming out from the entertainment industry. Good news for Avengers fans. Robert Downey Jr. has signed on to do not one but two more Avengers movies as Iron Man. Avengers 2, which will be out in May of 2015, and then a third Avengers movie as well.
Hang on, May of 2015.
Yeah, make sure you circle that. Yeah.
I'm busy.
And then probably 2017, I'm guessing, for the third Avengers movie.
I'll pencil it in.
Which by then, Iron Man will be in a wheelchair. It'll be fun to see Iron Man with a walker. Yeah, that'll be a little strange. Since we're talking about things sci-fi and superheroic, Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek, is getting his remains shot into space. This isn't the first time
it happened, right?
This happened, and also some of Scotty's ashes were shot up there as well. But here's the thing. The way they were doing it before, it would circle the Earth a couple times and then come back in the atmosphere and burn up. But this time, it's for keeps.
So wait. So these are different ashes, then?
Well, they're not the same.
Nothing saying, burn they up because they didn't catch him in like a pool skimmer. They just stand under the satellite, trying to fish it out of the air.
Right, yes. That's what I'm saying.
Well, but what do you think?
Well, it's just weird. Like, why when they sent it up the first time, did they only send up a portion of it? It seems like if you're going to send someone's body into space, you put it all in there and send it into space. Why are they parceling it out like this?
Well, I guess because maybe the family wants to keep, you know, an urn with some of the remains, and as a symbolic gesture, they take some of the ashes and put it in space. Why are you so eager to get him off the planet? Why does every remnant of him have to
just
go?
He's
turning into me.
Just convenient.
He doesn't believe anything.
That's just stupid. Absurd, dumb. They didn't do this.
I just find it convenient that they all of a sudden have, oh, I got extra ashes over here.
You're right, it's a huge ash conspiracy that they're trying to pull off on us.
Jesus. And why did the refs, fix the NBA Finals while we're on the topic? What's up with that? Ugh.
This time, though, they're going up into a craft that will use a solar sail to keep it up, power it, and keep it in synchronous orbit around the sun. So it's not coming back. This time it's gone.
This time they mean it.
It's gone. And then,
but I'm with Bean. If they come back and have a third time where they're sending up more ashes, I want to know where
James
they're getting
Doohan's
them.
Ashes were sent into space in 2007, 2008, and 2012.
Is that right?
They did that three times.
What, one grain at a time?
I don't believe it. I want someone to look into this.
It was weird when Scotty called in right after Rodney on Loveline Sunday, too. I don't know what's going on.
Twin! Today's celebrity birthdays. Doug Savant's 49 years old today.
Twin!
David Morrissey. You know him as the governor. Walking Dead, 49 years old. Actress Juliette Lewis celebrates her 40th birthday. She's also a singer in her own right. You ever seen
good actress. Crazy, crazy human, though, right?
Yeah. She's a crazy human. I love her.
She's out there. Mike Einziger of Incubus, 37 years old today. Erica Durance, who played Lois Lane, of course, on Smallville and In My Dreams. 35 years old, Chris Pratt. How funny is he on Parks and Recreation?
He was hilarious in Zero Dark 30.
Not so much in that film. 34 years old, Brandon Flowers of The Killers, 32.
This should be fun. You guys have heard about the film The Bling Ring in theaters right now. Sofia Coppola's latest movie. It's all about those kids, and I call them kids because they were a few years younger than you are now, Nick, who decided, hey, it would be fun to rip off all these celebrities. Let's break into their houses and steal their stuff. So somebody's playing you in the movie, but you are the real guy. Let's welcome Nick Prugo to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. What's up?
How are you, man? Thanks so much for being here. We really appreciate hearing your story. We don't get a chance to talk to somebody who's lived through what you've lived through. How old are you now?
I'm 22 years old now.
And you just 22? Got out of jail?
I got out of jail roughly 2 months ago, and I was in there for a year.
Nick was just telling us, and imagine having this on your back, that he has two strikes against him in the state of California right now. He's 22 years old. That means if you get into some trouble, like in 50 years, they can send you away for life, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the third strike has to be violent, and I'm, like, totally the opposite of violent. So I'm not really concerned, but it definitely does keep you in check.
I imagine.
Yeah, so, no kidding.
Now, how long was your sentence?
It was 2 years, but the way the system is, it's halftime automatically on your first offense, so it was a year, but I did the full year.
Was it serious jail? I mean, was it...
I mean, it was county jail. I mean, some people say the county jail is actually worse than the prison system, because in the prison system, I mean...
Are you intact?
Oh, yeah.
Kevin. I mean, well, look at him.
He's kind of pretty.
No, thank you.
You'd make a very nice inmate.
No, I mean, I was in like I was in a protective wing of the jail.
All right,
I had
good.
To be, of course.
Good.
But yeah, everything's in.
All right, just checking.
Is it such a disconnect between the nights that you were out stealing stuff and having a good time and yucking it up with your friends? And you, of course, you know it's illegal and you know you don't want to get caught and you know there's consequences. But how it's hard to get your head around what it's actually like to be in jail now for serving time for those crimes, right? Like you don't really expect that that's really going to happen to you.
Right. I mean, especially, you know, when you're committing the crime, you're in the moment and you're not thinking about the consequences.
Like it never occurred to you guys that you would get caught.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we thought we'd eventually stop, but it almost became like an addiction, you know, because mm-hmm. it was so easy and it was so profitable.
So how would you do it? You just wait till you heard news that a celebrity was out of town or what was
I mean, there was a little research involved and, you know, with the internet and Facebook and Twitter and everything, it's really easy to just Google somebody and you get their schedule, especially if they're, you know, high profile.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of people were shocked that this hadn't been done before, at least on the scale that you guys pulled it off, because once you pointed it out, yeah, it's pretty obvious that none of those people are going to be at home, right?
But don't you think their security would be amazing?
Yeah, I mean, you think the more money you have or the more successful you are that you'd be able to have a great security team in place. I mean, and they, you know, they had systems and things, but they just never set them. And, you know, they never had, you know, security at their house 24/7.
So they were kind of careless with...
I mean, a little bit, definitely. Yeah. I mean, because, I mean, some of these people, we'd go back to their homes, you know, many times. So, I mean.
Who did you go to the most? Whose home did you go to the most?
Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton.
Did these people have so much that you could take stuff and they wouldn't even know?
I mean, yeah, that was kind of the idea, you know, with going back so many times because, you know, take a little and they won't notice because, I mean, their lifestyles are so busy and they get a lot of free stuff, I mean,
right.
all the time. So not that it, you know, justifies it, but, I mean, they just wouldn't notice.
So you right. wouldn't take everything you could. So you would funny. Just take some and move along. And
right. I mean, but if you see, like, a diamond Rolex or something, you're not going to leave it.
Of course,
I mean,
yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're, like, in the criminal mind frame.
So, Nick, what did you guys do with all of the stuff? I mean, some of it you wore. Some of it I'm sure you gave away. Did you sell some as well?
Yeah, I mean, you know, most of it we wore and we kind of just picked through what we wanted and then everything else we didn't want, we would kind of give down to our friends. And then, I mean, what was left, we'd sell. We only really sold stuff with one of the victims on Venice Beach, which is a scene in the movie. And that was Rachel Bilson. But, I mean, we didn't really sell a lot of it. We mainly kept it.
How accurate is the movie?
It's pretty accurate. I mean, there's a couple things that are fabricated, you know, which I think make it a little more interesting. But for the most part, it's pretty accurate because it came from the interview I gave to Vanity Fair in 2010. And I'd met with Sofia Coppola a couple times unofficially. And, like, we talked about it because Alexis Nyers had actually consulted on the film. So I wanted to get my two cents
in. Right, sure.
What'd you think of the actor they cast to play you?
I think he did a good job. He seems like a nice guy. And... you know, I think he did well.
This is the voice of Nick Perugo here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's a real life member of the Bling Ring, which is not what you guys called yourself, right? That's what the author of the article and the book called you, right?
Yeah, I think the LA Times originally came up with that name for us.
The Bling Ring.
Were you happy when they came up with it? Like, yeah, that's
I
pretty
mean,
good
I wouldn't
name.
Say happy. I no. mean, I don't know. I thought it was kind of, like, tacky at first, like, bling, bling. Well, you know, like, but, I mean, I guess it works.
You're upset that your nickname is tacky.
My nickname sucks. Right.
But wouldn't that be the worst, Kevin? Like, think about all the guys that rob banks, and then they get the you know, the news media nickname as the elderly bandit. I mean, mm-hmm. Sometimes you just got to stand up and go, hey, wait a minute. You don't get to choose my nickname.
Yeah.
But that's how it works. Nick, tell me about the first case that you guys, the first night that you guys went out and stole, who was it and how was it decided, hey, this is something we're going to do tonight, guys?
You know, it was kind of, I mean, I wouldn't say I really remember how exactly we decided, but it was just, you know, my friend and I, just us two the first time, and it was Paris Hilton. And, you know, we figured she'd be out, which she was every night, and we'd found her house.
Oh, so this wasn't even an out-of-town. It was just a time of the night.
She's probably, like, out between 10 o'clock at night and 4 a.m. in the morning. At this time in her life, she was anyway.
How'd you know where she lived?
Google Maps. I mean, well, there was a website called Celebrity Address Aerial, which has the images of, like, every celebrity home. It's, like, $30 a year. So, I mean, and, like, the current address, and it's just, I mean, it's completely invasive and horrible for their privacy. But,
So you show up at the house.
Yeah, and you know, and the key was under the mat. That was actually a different time, but the key was under the mat. But I mean, her alarm was off, and we just walked right in, and you know, kind of you know, yelled her name to see if she was there, and no one was there. So, I mean, I followed the lead of my friend and just followed her in.
How about her little yap yap dogs? Were they there?
Yeah, they were, and they were you know barking. She kept them in the kitchen in like this kind of corral thing.
So, that means they're not house trained, you guys.
Yeah.
Is that what it means?
That's got to be what it means because it's easier to clean up if they're on the kitchen floor. That's sick. All right. So you go in, and do you do a little bit of a little sightseeing while you're there? Because, look, none of us – I mean, I don't know what Paris Hilton's house looks like, but I imagine it's super gaudy and tacky. Do you just, like, walk around and, like, inspect the place?
I mean, you know, I think we just wanted to make sure no one was home, and then we kind of just went to the main room where she would have her stuff, which was the master bedroom.
How long were you inside?
I mean, anywhere between, you know, 20 minutes to a couple hours sometimes.
Couple hours?
Wouldn't you be so nervous that she's going to come back?
I mean, after we'd been there a couple times, we kind of, you know, figured out her schedule, like I said, and we kind of knew the blocks of time she'd be gone. I mean,
wow.
See, I would just, I totally am with you that I would, I mean, I would have assumed that Paris Hilton would have a great alarm system, and I would assume that every minute that I'm in there, there's a silent alarm that's contacting the Beverly Hills Police Department, and they're on the way, and I better get out of there as fast as possible. You have nerves of steel compared to me.
Well, I mean, I was definitely nervous, and I just, I mean, I wasn't thinking about a silent an alarm, but I think just being so young, we were kind of just distracted, and we weren't really, you know, we weren't really thinking.
So once you did it the first time, was it then the adrenaline of it? Hey, that was so easy, and it was so much fun. Let's do it again.
Yeah, I mean, and the stuff we netted. I mean,
like what your first haul? What was what did you get?
Just you know, cash. And she got clothing, and you know, some jewelry and stuff. But it was just. It seemed that every time we went back, there was always more cash in her purse.
How many times did you go to Paris Hilton's?
I'd say at least, like, you know, 10 times.
How does she not? Did she notice it and report it? I mean, did you see the reports in the news or anything?
That only happened after somebody had stolen the quote-unquote $2 million in jewelry, which I think was most costume jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's when it really hit the news. I mean, before that, I don't think she had any idea.
That's
so you go to Paris's house like I'd go to 7-Eleven. Like, twice a week, we're going in and getting more stuff.
What are you doing tonight, Paris? All right.
Yeah, no, it was kind of like that. It really was.
All right, we got to take a break. Nick Prugo is our guest here on the Kevin Abid Show. Again, he is portrayed in the film Bling Ring, out now from director Sofia Coppola. When we come back, we want to talk some more about the crime spree, and then we want to find out how you were caught, and then we want to find out how a little bit more about jail, and also what's in it for you. Like, I'm curious why you're even doing interviews now, Nick. This is interesting to me. We'll take a break and come back more with our guests right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
It is 24 minutes after 9 o'clock. Kevin and Bean here. Nick Prugo in the studio with us.
He is a real-life member of the Bling Ring. He and his pals broke into homes from Paris Hilton, Audrina Patridge, Rachel Bilson, Orlando Bloom, Brian Austin Green, and Megan Fox. Hey, you bring me anything from Megan Fox's, by the way?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he's been saving it all this time for you, Bean.
How many robberies did you guys eventually end up doing? How many separate incidences of burglary did you commit?
I mean, how many names did you just say? I think it was like 8 or 9. I mean, there was a couple people that weren't celebrities that I was actually charged with. I think it was like 9.
And some people you went to, of course, as you mentioned, multiple times, too. So, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out how many nights of crime were there before it finally all tumbled around your shoulders.
I mean, this spanned over a year. So, I mean, and we would probably, like, once a month at least have a new person. So, I mean,
how'd you get caught, Nick?
I mean, the cops showed up at my house one day, and wow. I was charged. I'm not really sure how the information got to the cops for them to,
You don't know how they found you?
Well, I mean, there's rumors that, you know, somebody leaked it through CNN or something, and it's really weird, but I'm not really quite sure.
Because some of your friends that weren't in the group, you said you gave away some of the stuff that you guys stole, so that meant there were other people that kind of knew what was going on?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people knew, especially within our circle. So, yeah. I mean, it could have been anybody, so yeah. I really don't know.
Why did you let that happen? Why did you not keep this as the tightest secret you could ever keep, just to make sure that somebody, it didn't fall into the wrong hands?
I mean, you think you would, right?
Bragging rights.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a little bit, you know, we were really young, we kind of wanted a little bit of notoriety, at least amongst our circle.
Yeah.
Right.
And we didn't plan on it.
You got it. Mission accomplished.
Right. I should say so.
Who else went to jail in the group?
My main cohort, if you will, she went to prison, actually. And then Alexis Nyers did a month in Linwood. And everybody else got off with community service.
Why is that?
Wow.
The detective in the case decided to play a role in the movie, and he got paid a certain amount that he kind of lied about, I guess.
What?
And then Internal Affairs started investigating him, and I think he's on the brink of actually losing his job, but that made the case really easy for the other lawyers.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Speaking of attorneys, it sounds like from what I understand from what I've read about your case, Nick, that you had either some bad representation or something that you expected to happen as a result of your plea deal did not turn out the way you hoped. Can you explain that to me a little bit?
Yeah, I had a couple different lawyers. One of them early on in the case had advised me to come to his office one day and basically confess to the cops everything they didn't know. And return everything I had in my possession in exchange for an immunity deal. So I did. I mean, I was 18, and I had just paid this guy a lot of money to represent me. So I trusted he had my best interest.
It does sound like good advice.
If you get immunity.
Right. If
yeah.
you get,
yeah,
you get
the
immunity, the thing is...
What happened to that?
I mean, the next day they charged me with 9 more felonies, so the immunity didn't really come in.
Because of the burglaries that you confessed to that they didn't know about. Was that what happened?
Right, and that was kind of the agreement, at least to my knowledge, that I would let them know about this and I would return all the property I had in my possession, and I would in turn get immunity. But it didn't happen that way.
Wow. So there's nothing you can do if you make that deal or if you understand that deal from your attorney. That's not on the courts. That's not the court's fault. That's not their problem, right?
Exactly. Because I mean, I was speaking with the detectives. I wasn't even speaking with the DA, and the DA is the kind of person that would make that deal.
I see.
Gotcha. Tell me about your parents, Nick. Are they around?
I mean, my parents, I will say they've just been very supportive of me, and, they're very loving, but I don't really want to talk a lot about my family.
Okay.
I'm just wondering what their, a little bit about your background, but also what their reaction was like at the time. I mean, were they shocked could they not even believe that you were involved in something like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think any parent would share a similar reaction.
My parents would have thought, yeah.
Yeah. Kevin? Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, we saw that coming.
What's your relationship like now with the other members of the Bling Ring?
It's non-existent. It's a condition in my parole that I can't be around my victims or co-defendants. So,
interesting. And what's your life like now, Nick? What are you doing for a job now?
I mean, I'm still just kind of re-entering society in my own way, I guess. It's been about 2 months since I've been out of jail, and I'm just kind of, taking it slow. I mean, like I said, I have 2 strikes, so, I mean, the business world and stuff, I mean, there's very limited things that I could probably do.
Are you thinking of school?
I mean, I wouldn't see what for. I mean, because 2 strikes, I mean, as soon as anyone sees that, it's going to be kind of hard to get a job. So, I mean, I figure, there's a lot of interest in the entertainment field right now, people interested in me, so... I'm just taking advantage of those opportunities and seeing what happens.
Seeing where it'll take you.
Right.
There are some people in the reviews of the movie who were shocked at how fame-obsessed all of you guys were in the Bling Ring. And that's not really sustainable for most people in terms of a way to make a living.
Is that a question? Is there a question,
I
sir?
I didn't even know.
I guess what I'm saying is that is that continuing? Is that impulse that you had, hey, I want to be famous, or I want to have people know who I am, or I want to talk about me, is that part of what still drives you now to think, hey, maybe I want to get a career in the entertainment industry? Is that something you're still holding on to?
I mean, even before this, I was interested in the entertainment industry, more behind the camera stuff. I really like music in movies. So I was interested in that, and I had done some extra work and some small acting roles when I was younger. So I've always kind of been in the industry. The drive, I don't think, for me anyway, was to become famous or, you know, really get notoriety for this. And it just kind of happened that way. I just really wanted just the nice stuff. And, you know, celebrities seem to have the nicest stuff.
Sure. Wouldn't it be awesome if you were completely successful in this life and then some punks came in and robbed you?
That'd be karma.
Wouldn't that be awesome? You'd have to just go, let them have it.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing I could say at that point.
Congratulations.
All right. Before we say goodbye to you, Nick, do you feel like, are you remorseful for what you did? Has there been an apology aspect to this? Has a lesson been learned?
I mean, throughout the last couple of years, I've apologized on several occasions, and I did pay my debt to society, and I just think it's a little redundant to keep apologizing. I mean, of course, I'm very sorry for what I did, and I'm just trying to move forward in whatever way I can.
I don't blame you, and I think you're. I mean, like you said, when you have two strikes against you, you know how careful you have to be. So obviously, yeah, you're going to be on your best behavior, I bet.
Always.
Now would be a great time to rob, though, because no one would expect it. No, I'm saying nobody would expect it. Because you. Never mind.
You can follow Nick on Twitter at Nick Prugo LA. That last name is Prugo, P-R-U-G-O. Nick Prugo LA is how you get him on Twitter. I wish you nothing but the best. We really appreciate you coming in and sharing your story with us. It sounds like you have turned your life around. I hope everything goes great for you, Nick. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. It was great talking to you.
I am always surprised when anyone listens to this show, so I really want to thank Mike Olivares from Los Angeles for tuning in today. You just won yourself tickets for the 5th Annual Epicenter coming up Saturday, September 21st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, including The Offspring, Bad Religion, Pennywise, and more. By the way, tickets go on sale today for the public at noon. I believe there is a K-Rock presale at 10 a.m., so in about 20 minutes from right now, you can get those details at krock.com. Rob is here now. Time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat for the week.
Before we get out of here and I tell you about the showbiz news, I do want to give you another opportunity to win something cool. My segment has just become pretty much just the ticket giveaway.
Win hour. Something cool
win
guy.
Win something cool guy, which is a nice, I don't mind being known as that guy at all. This is a very cool event, a great place to see a performer like Jack Johnson is the Orpheum downtown in Los Angeles. Great theater, nice intimate venue for music. Jack Johnson will be performing there on October the 19th. Now, here's the thing. If you want to see him, it's such a small venue, they can't just put the tickets on sale. So what they're doing is they're letting Jack Johnson fans enter a lottery. And then if your name is pulled out of the lottery, then you get your chance to purchase your tickets. So you go to jackjohnsonmusic.com. You enter the lottery there. That's how you get your tickets if you're lucky enough to be drawn out of that lottery. But we have a pair of tickets right now. You don't need to enter a lottery or nothing.
Yeah!
All you have to do is be caller number 19. Since the date is October the 19th, that's when he's performing there. Number 19 will get a pair of tickets to see Jack Johnson at the Orpheum. So call now, 1-800-520-1067, and good luck.
I'm curious to see this show because of how different his new song is. That new Jack Johnson, you think you know what Jack Johnson's all about. Then you, have you guys heard the new song?
He's reinventing himself. I give him credit. I give him credit.
It's just crazy.
How the old fans are going to take to that.
It's going to be so nice at the Orpheum.
Tribute to Anderson Cooper, who coincidentally has bubbly toes. I don't know if you know that.
He does.
So it all comes full circle.
All right.
Yeah. Yesterday around this time, we were talking about the fact that it was an outrage. It was an insult to cinema that I was not included in the tour de force that is going to be Sharknado on the Sci-Fi Network come this
Hell
July.
Yeah, 11. It is.
I mean, listen, I don't want to toot my own horn here, because I can't bend that far. But let's face it, Sharktopus,
only got made because of you.
That's what I'm saying. I was really
absolutely.
It happened because I was the driving force.
I know you don't want
Sharktopus.
Right.
You know what this is? This is. Hey, we're going to have the NBA All-Star Game. Sorry, LeBron, not you so much. Yeah, that's what this is.
Oh, we forgot to include LeBron. Oh, did anyone call LeBron? Oh no, I thought you were going to do it.
An oversight.
So Sharktopus, of course, you know I put that on the map. And then
damn you, Sharktopus!
See, it's still people are still saying it to this day. Sharknado comes along. I don't get a phone call. I get nothing. I don't get a nod. Nothing.
One of our listeners got a Sharktopus tattoo, if I remember correctly.
That's correct. Remember the year at Comic-Con where they're handing out the damn you Sharktopus
buttons?
That's
right. That
button. Right.
For God's sake.
That's that was
right.
a thing.
So they're making Sharknado, which, as you can imagine, is about a tornado of sharks.
How does that work?
You know how it happens, Kevin.
It's formed over the ocean.
Why don't you read the news once in a
and
while?
And then the sharks are sucked up into the air.
Yes.
And then they're deposited over the
and
city.
And then they're dropped over the beachside community of sharks falling from the sky.
That seems
obviously.
Bad. Yeah. So Sharknado is going to be on television on July the 19th.
Kevin just doesn't believe anything anymore, does he?
Stupid. Absurd. Sharknado's absurd. So I get my my nose a little out of joint because I thought, hey, how about the giving the drummer some a little Sharknado love?
Sure.
Well, I was happy to get this email from Anthony Ferrante, who writes, Ralph, if I knew you wanted to be in another shark movie, I would have found a part for you in Sharknado. There were so many horrible ways we could have killed you, and now I feel awful that we completely ignored you. So for that, I apologize. There you go. That's Anthony C. Ferrante, the director of Sharknado, which will be on next month. So I feel a little better that he at least he did the right thing. He manned up and he apologized, because when you think shark movies, when you think hybrid shark movies, I'd like to think Ralph Garman is the name that pops into your head.
Top of the list.
That's what I'm thinking. Damn you, Sharktopus! So all is forgiven, Anthony C. Ferrante, and best of luck with Sharknado.
That's a very classy move of him to reach out to you like that.
And the sequel, Sharkacane, and Sharkano, and Shark Nor'easter, and any other weather shark hybrids you have in the future.
That would be, look, Kevin, you mock, but that would be terrifying if all of a sudden a tornado full of sharks came over you and started dumping them on your face.
I'm not denying
First
that.
First of all, they're not dumping them on your face. That's
works.
A movie you rented last night.
But I don't know how it works.
If you're in a seaside community and a shark falls out of the sky, unless the shark actually lands on you,
right, you're probably
you
all right.
You win. What are you going to do
you're
now?
You're the big winner there.
Oh, shark flopping in the middle of the street?
Right.
Not so badass now, are you?
I'll take a step back. How do you like that,
yeah, bitch? How about for Jaws? This is for Jaws. I just start kicking it right in the teeth. I am the man if the shark is falling on the land.
Well, you're not in the water.
That's right. I win. Now, if he grabs me and some of his friends and they wriggle and they drag me into the surf, then I'm in trouble.
Then you're out.
Otherwise,
I can't wait to see this film.
I can't
it's
wait
science.
To, can't wait to see how Iron Zierling handles the problem. He's the star of that film. Here's more films that are bad ideas. Poltergeist is being remade. You don't need to remake Poltergeist.
No, it's a classic.
Just fine the way it is. Just perfectly fine.
But the old one doesn't go away.
But it holds
then
up,
why
too.
Need,
you
why
don't
do you
need
know
a
it
new
if
one.
It doesn't go away? I'd understand it if it went away. If Poltergeist, if you watched it, then it just...
And everybody went, wow, that's old.
The DVD would actually just melt and like dissipate into a steam coming out of your machine. Like, oh, crap, we're never going to be able to see that again. Well, we'll make a new one for you. That I can understand. But since it doesn't go away, why are you going to take Poltergeist and then remake it?
This house is clean.
Oh, that little midget lady was so good.
Yeah, I remember her.
I know we have this conversation oftentimes with these remakes, but the fact of the matter is that 22-year-olds, who are the people who go to the movies, are not going to rent or watch the original Poltergeist.
Why?
Because they just won't.
But why?
They're just not.
But why won't
old.
They?
Because
it's old.
Because it's old.
Well, then re-release it. It'll be new again. They'll never see it. They'll go, wow, that guy from Coach looks really young. He's really taking care of himself. And then go see Craig T. Nelson and Joe Beth Williams in the original brilliant film, Poltergeist, and watch it and enjoy it. Because why do you want to make them watch a lesser version of that? Why wouldn't you give them the best movie they could?
They're not set out to make a lesser version.
But they do. That's what happens.
Probably, but... It's not their
you
ideal.
Moved the tombstones, but you didn't move the bodies! Love that film. How can you love it? It's crap. That's my point, Ralph. God, maybe they'll put he's on the show.
Maybe they'll put a Sharknado in the new Poltergeist.
Oh, that'd be great. Just, damn you, Sharktopus! A lot of me dropped around here today. And, of course, it wouldn't be a Showbiz Report unless we mentioned that we seem to have an official name for the Kardashian West spawn, porn star Kim Kardashian and
Farrah Abramson
have named their child Farrah Abramson, which I think is weird.
That is strange.
TMZ.com claims they saw a signed birth certificate with the name Northwest.
Hashtag fail.
Hashtag fail. Signed by both Kim and Kanye at Cedars-Sinai.
So bitchin'.
It looks as if their baby's name is North.
I've never seen a bigger collection of douchebags.
Northwest.
It's like you're here on the show with all these drops.
Northwest would be her name. So it's going to be an easy porn movie name. Porn
Hell film. Mother f-
That would be the title of her first film.
Someone, I thought it blew.
Someone brought up the point that North was a movie starring Elijah Wood about a kid who hates his parents so much he goes shopping for new ones around the world. So maybe they had some vision in naming this child North. Or maybe they're just waiting for a porn debut in North Goes South. Which I would like to rent.
In 18 years.
In 18 years, of course, yeah.
Twins!
Today's celebrity birthdays. David Morrissey turns 49 years old today. Actress Juliette Lewis is 40. Mike Einzinger of Incubus and the Nazi Party is 37 years old today.
Wait, hold on a second.
Well,
wait,
his name, Mike Einzinger. Come on.
I don't think just that.
You can hear the goose stepping in the background when you say that name.
You don't have to go.
I'm just saying. Actress Erica Durance, she played Lois Lane in Smallville. I don't think I've seen her since, but I would like her to be in every movie and television show that's made. Maybe she could be the lead in the new Poltergeist. In that case, I'd be going. She's 35 years old. Actor Chris Pratt, very funny guy, is 34 years old. Brandon Flowers of the Killers is 32. And singer Lana Del Rey is 27. No?
Nope.
No.
Obviously.
There we go. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat. I thought this was an unusual Friday Showbiz Beat for the last one because it went fairly well. And then, good, we screwed up in the end. Right. Makes me feel more comfortable.
Trent Reznor on Monday, by the way.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Come on, Eileen.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Bueno.
Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
We've got vomit.
Just like the other one.
Really?
This one seems to be about to quit.
My car just hit a water buffalo.
Another hit.
What you gotta say now, bitch? What you gotta say now? You ain't got shit to say, motherfucker. What you gotta say? What you gotta say, bitch? What you gotta say? What you gotta say, bitch?
Bueno. Like the vagina.
Just like the other one.
Gold plate, 24 karat gold,
this
baby.
One seems to be about to end.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
I don't have another cent.
Professor Clyde Tombaugh, I discovered the planet Pluto in 1930.
Hurry up with my damn croissants.
Just pass it around.
Hey, how's that going?
You're a gay racist.
I just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
Came here today to tell you, in all seriousness, that I'm done. I did what you said. I gave it a lot of thought, and I decided that once and for all, it's over.